WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you guys are on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sum available, which was previously Twitch Prime, well, you can subscribe for free for 30 days to this channel. All you need to do is just hit the little purple button at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe. If you don't happen to have a Prime Gaming sub, you want to use it somewhere else, well, that's fine. You can subscribe the regular way, follow, do whatever you'd like to do. We're happy to have you and welcome. And if you're in a following mood, you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/LindsWard, same as my Twitter. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, joining me as always is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We're not in the Thunderdome, but we're here.
Dude, I've been in the Thunderdome. All we've had is freaking thunderstorms the last 2 days.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's at Rack Radio Show. It's at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLab, and interact with us, because tonight's going to be a very interactive show, because we want to hear from you in the chat as we preview the biggest part of the summer. You'll never see it coming. SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah. So no Tweet of the Week tonight, chat.
No Tweet of the Week.
Even though it would be the most juicy Tweet of the Week we've had in forever. Because it's so roast worthy.
Oh, it's going to have its own segment, I think, next week. Just because... its like own specific segment because it is a whole thing, y'all. This is a viral sensation that we have for you. It deserves its own bumper.
We're going to talk about it next week.
Not this week. So there is no news. There are no
Well, we have news, which we're going to sprinkle in as we go. But no official news segment. Presented
no
by
official news.
Presented by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211.
As I said on the pre-show, this is the dual pay-per-view delight special where we are going to be talking, like Rock said, SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30. And we're probably going to have a Brent in the back half of the show. We'll have to see.
If he leaves work,
that's you know, up, that's up and gets him. Food and enough for everybody and Rock, he can join us for NXT.
I hate you sometimes.
But, you know, if not, you're just stuck with us. So, sorry, not sorry.
So, as I mentioned, the Thunderdome is happening. And it's going to be happening this weekend. It starts with SmackDown tomorrow, but it's going to be the big thing. It's going to be Sunday for SummerSlam. By the looks of it, we got fans back.
That's right, y'all. We're out of the PC. She is officially in the books and behind WWE for right now. They've moved on to the Amway Center. They've got everything set up. They've been testing the last couple days in anticipation for SmackDown being live from the Amway Center tomorrow. And from all accounts, it's different. Not different bad, not different good. It's just different than what we're used to, but it's not NXT wrestlers sprinkled behind plexiglass with masks on. It's Zoom calls. It's Microsoft Teams. It's however they're having people call in and be a part of the show. So we're going to have actual live fans. Even if they're not there in person, they're on Zoom calls. People are going to be cycled in, what, every 15, 20 minutes?
Everyone who signed up at WWEThunderdome.com, which you can go do so when they put it out on the thing, and when they tweet it out, you better be hurt because seats are very limited. It's okay. So how it's set up is it's like the NBA, but not like the NBA. It's going to be in rows. So like they're spread out in rows. They're going to be 1,000 video boards, LED boards. Everyone's going to have their own individual spot. You can see some of the pictures. They're on the internet. It looks overwhelming, kind of. But the closer you are, it looks more overwhelming. But the wider shots, the different angles look better.
It looks fuller. And I think after 5 months of us seeing either nobody there or a handful of people there, I can understand why seeing the faces behind the ring, especially larger, because they're not what we're normally seeing with the fans where it's just rows and rows and rows of people. It's blocks, right? And everybody is larger because it's a Zoom call. And they're only doing 1,000 people on the board. So max, I think, at any given time. So they're good. The pictures are going to be larger. So yeah, it can be overwhelming and things can get lost because it's something that we're not used to seeing. But I don't think it's necessarily any more overwhelming than if you look at, say, something like WrestleMania, for example, and you just see the mass of humanity and see how things can get lost in WrestleMania. I think over time we will get used to it. The question is this a temp solution or how long are we going to have the solution before we move forward? I think the one thing that we need to keep in mind with this is I feel like as fans, and this is me included, because we don't always do this, we need to walk into this with an open mind. We need to be prepared for fuck ups because that's going to happen. Even though they're testing, technology fails, technology has problems. This is a new field for them. This is a new field for us. So I feel like we need to be a little bit more forgiving. I've seen a lot of people already bashing the concept on the internet with just seeing the pictures.
Why should people bash? But no one should be bashing them trying to do something. It's not like they're putting fans in the building like other promotions.
I have to see if it's going to distract from the ring laments. Moving on, we are not even touching that with a 10-foot pole. I really want to see how they do it with the stuff in the ring, because I think the pictures probably don't give the full experience. Because I don't think it's any more necessarily distracting than anything else that it would be. But we'll have to see.
It all depends. Again, this is why they've been they did 4 hours of practice today. With fans, with the cameras. So they're working on the angles. They're working on probably how bright the fans will be, how dark they will be, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be good to have something again.
Yeah.
Okay, while it's cool to have the NXT wrestlers behind the plexiglass, and we'll continue to have that for NXT, this is going to look more and feel like more like WWE. You're gonna have the, you have the big stage again. You're gonna have so much pyro, so much smoke, so much lighting. It's gonna look really good. Trust me, when I say this, WWE knows how to film stuff. And they're gonna make sure we have an experience where for the next, 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
Before they bring fans back live, cause that's the plan, that, or at least that's the working plan, that we're gonna feel like we're back watching it. I've talked about this before, when it's not 20 or 21, Matt. It's sooner. I mean, AEW's doing it on the 27th of this month. So, and they've been doing it, but now they're starting to charge ticket prices.
Which, if they're comfortable with doing that, good on them.
That's fine.
I mean, I'm just going to make that comment.
But if you were giving WWE crap for what they were doing, please give the AEW crap. That's all I'm saying.
Because I haven't seen what Florida's numbers are lately. I don't know what they're doing. I would be curious to see how they're going to be checking people coming into the building, if they're going to be, because obviously they're going to be enforcing mask mandates, and how they're going to manage standards, kind of segueing really quickly in terms of having fans in, because they're going to do, I think, about 15 to 20%.
It's 10 to 15% capacity. They're going to be in pods, so you can only buy ticket. You can't buy an individual ticket. It's 2, 3 to 6 tickets in a pod. Right. WWE in 2 months, while they're in the Amway Center till the end of October, they won't have any fans.
Yeah. No, that's from the city of Orlando. That was part of the deal for them to get the Amway Center, was that they have to, WWE is under extremely strict guidelines to do this. AEW is less so because they're in Jacksonville.
And they're in an open air building.
Yeah. And they're not renting the building out. The cons own, I think, the building that they're in, or they already have the lease or something. Like, the cons are connected to the building. So AEW has not had to worry about the building, because it's all good on the back end. WWE, because they were at the Performance Center, they could do whatever they want because they own that space. They're now leasing the Amway Center. I think it's owned by the city, I want to say, or it's at least managed by the city somehow. And there was a lot of political stuff that went on to get the Amway Center. And part of the danger of them renting it is that at any given time, if they have to shut them down, they can get shut down. They're not going to be able to stay running there. Like, that city-owned, managed by the Magic. Okay, there you go. So the city owns it, so the city can dictate what they can and can't do in that building. So if they say, you know, end of October comes and they're like, yeah, no, the numbers are still high, we're not comfortable with you having fans in here, and you're done till 2021, WWE has to either accept that or they have to leave and they have to find somewhere to go.
And that's basically the way it met with all the buildings. It's usually owned by the city or the state, and the teams that run out of it manage it. I was gonna say, with baseball, they've been doing cardboard cutouts, and it's kind of worked. The Phillies have done a really good job with the cutouts, because they're all over the field, so it looks like it's full capacity from camera angles. So it's like, when you're at the darkened-ish parts where you're not really seeing them in the Performance Center, but you're hearing the noise, and you kind of see them, it's like, okay, it's there. But this is going to give you the full experience. And that's what tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, and going forward for the next 2 months, it's going to feel like WWE again. And that's...
We need that. We need that positivity in our lives.
And the first good thing about it, it's going to be live. Everything WWE is doing is live.
From here on out.
Except for NXT. NXT still may be taped at points, but...
But no, Raw and SmackDown will be live every week. We're not pre-taping anymore, which... There's nothing wrong with the fact that they had to pre-tape. I just want to stipulate that. They did what they had to do for safety's purposes and to continue to keep the product going, and I don't have an issue with that.
Why are they doing with NXT TakeOver? I think it's because they're trying to keep the building, the relationship with Full Sail that they have, and they want to keep. They don't want to change that experience where when you're watching NXT, I would assume, here's it in a big building, and then you're going back to the small building with NXT. I think they want to keep the same feel right now with it, like, as it's like, here's what the product is. Because if you keep flipping and flopping what the product is, then you're going to turn people off with it when it comes to NXT. If you keep the same feel throughout, it'll be better.
They do have takeovers in arenas, but I think right now, because Full Sail has let them run NXT out of the building for the entire pandemic, except for like a handful of shows, that that it would be a little insulting to Full Sail to be like, okay, well, we have the Amway Center. We're now going to move our NXT product out of here and into the Amway Center for the foreseeable future. And then Full Sail loses that income. So I think it's more they're, like Rock said, they're trying to maintain that relationship and that partnership, because Full Sail is essential to NXT right now. They haven't, like I said, a handful of shows. Because right. Full Sail shut down for a minute, mm-hmm. and then when they were able to get back in the building, they were able to get back down in the building, and they've stayed there. But it's all about maintaining the partnership. That's what it is. Like, that's basically what Hunter came out and said, is that we are keeping NXT there for the Full Sail partnership, because it is quintessential to what we do. So...
I know, LeMans, you're talking for TakeOver. I mean, that's why I'm saying give it the same look, because you don't want to differentiate the product right now just based on what they're doing. It's what they want. I don't have any more answers than that. It's what they want. I'm just trying to figure it out.
I think it might be a cost factor. I don't know. Like, they have the cost factored in for Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-view, but I don't think they ever factored NXT into it. That would probably be my guess. Is that's what it really is, because I don't know who's footing the bill for the audience and the bandwidth and everything else.
It's WWE.
To do what they're doing.
It's all in WWE.
So it could be, okay, this is how much it costs to run for Raw, this is how much it costs to run for SmackDown, this is how much it costs to run for pay-per-views, and then they look at NXT and they're like, for TakeOver and weekly TV, they're like, yeah, no, maybe not. And even for TakeOver, it's like, yeah, it's a once a month, twice a month, or twice a once a quarter thing.
Once a quarter.
It's safely saying once a quarter. They're probably like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're doing another pay per view after SummerSlam, which we'll talk about next week.
Yay!
Content, but SummerSlam. Let's get into the full show.
Yeah. So, woo! Live from the Amway Center.
No,
yay!
Just call it the Thunderdome. That's all that we're going to call
it. I'm calling it the Amway Center, because until they have Stephanie McMahon come down in a leather outfit in a chair and she proclaims it the Thunderdome, it is the goddamn Amway Center. Anyway,
Thunderdome.
Which she could. I mean, she totally would.
I mean, she totally would. It's kind of pull out some of the gear from, you know, she's worn at WrestleManias. Also, with the Thunderdome, it's supposed to have a WrestleMania look feel to it, which, yes, please do it. Let's get some matches. SummerSlam.
Yeah.
By the way, go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio.network starting tomorrow night after SmackDown and leave your picks. I would say post them in the chat, but we have a slacking intern, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Pyro and Smoke and massive light show.
Ding. So, all right, up first. We have the U.S. Championship, both of them on the line, as Apollo Crews takes on MVP. Apollo Crews is your current champion. This is a straight-up match. There are no stipulations.
Except that MVP's boys are banned from ringside. Can this feud be over with? Can this feud actually be over with? We talked about this Monday, where it's like, okay, why is MVP the star? It should be Lashley. He's the bruiser. He's the dominator. He's Bobby Lashley. He was the man who shook his ass. Now he doesn't shake his ass. But I'm tired. If you want to use MVP as a wrestler, put him in tag matches. Him trying to work a singles match on pay-per-view is probably not going to be great.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Monday was not a good showing for him in a singles match. I wasn't terribly enamored with what I saw on Monday. Now, that could have been just a really bad night for him. Could have just been really... No, it just could have been a really bad night for him. I'm not even going to say anything else, because that was kind of on him. So I'm hoping this is better than what it was Monday, but I don't have high hopes. I've enjoyed MVP's work as a manager. I think he's been absolutely fantastic as a mouthpiece for Lashley and Benjamin. And I would love to see that continue. Like, I like the Hurt Business as a group. I'm not necessarily a fan of MVP being the star of the group. I get it. He has like carried it. He has nursed it. He has helped create it. He has been the voice behind it. Like, he is the center of that group. I don't feel like, though, that he should be the star and the focus. I feel like it should be either on Bobby Lashley or Shelton Benjamin, and they should really be the ones pushing the titles versus MVP. It's a tricky situation for me, but that being said, I would like to see Apollo Crews retain.
Yeah, it makes sense for him to retain, and then you go to Payback with Lashley and Crews, and then put the belt on Lashley there. That's how I would book it, since it's payback, as it were. I think MVP, he doesn't need the belt. They gave it to him, in theory, for a month while Apollo Crews was dealing with whatever he was dealing with. And they all, it's like, okay, been there, done that. Keep it on Crews for a night. Have him drop it, because as good as Apollo Crews is in the ring, he's... I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. It's nice.
He's not as engaging on the mic?
He's not engaging on the mic. He misses some... He lacks a little bit of charisma. He's a solid hand in the ring, but he's not a star. You can put the belt on someone else. He can have a good match with anyone. I don't know. It just... I don't know. Just... He doesn't do much for me. That said, he'll retain his U.S. title on Sunday. That said, Magic 8-Ball, will Mr. Cruz retain his title on Sunday? The 8-Ball says don't count on it. That's one item. Number two, Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3. It's going to be Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Apollo Cruz. Nice job on calling out Wrestler 3.
Thank you. It's going to be Wrestler 3. All right.
Even though there was no Wrestler 3 option. But good job.
It's Wrestler 3. It's always Wrestler 3.
It's always Wrestler 3. Okay.
Anyway, moving on, the Raw Tag Team Championship is on the line as the Street Profits are taking on Andrade and Angel Garza. This has been a heated feud as Zelina Vega apparently poisoned Montez Ford, and Bianca Belair is out for blood, so I would fully expect those two to get into it at ringside. And I really like this feud. I've really enjoyed this feud. It's, we've been seeing people do their best work in this feud.
Other than the poisoning, which is a little was a little weird and a little strange.
Yeah, that was a little out there.
It's been a good feud. The thing is, when you look at everything that's on the table, while Andrade and Angel have been on the same page lately, this has been like 3 weeks of them being on the same page. Well, for like 4 or 5 weeks before that, they weren't quite frankly on the same page. So you have to wonder, okay, are they going to win the titles, or is this the breakup of Andrade and Angel Garza? Because as we all been we're documenting on the Raw Post Show every Monday, 11 p.m. Eastern, Angel Garza is a hoe.
He shouldn't be a hoe. He's married.
But he's a hoe. He a hoe. And
they need to stop making him a hoe. Angel, stop thinking with your dick and start fighting with your fists, okay?
Will his hoeing ways take him away from Andrade and Zelina Vega?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the issues were technically Austin Theory, and they kind of got rid of Austin Theory, and ever since they got rid of him, it's been fine. Now, Angel's been hoeing his way around backstage, and that is what it is. I've spoken at length about that and my dislike of that, but anyway, but Zelina's got her boys on the same page. Now, what could play a factor, like I said, is Zelina and Bianca, and I would fully expect this to potentially cost somebody the match, because Bianca's going to go for Zelina, and they're going to be fighting at ringside, and either Andrade or Angel or both are going to try and break it up, and same with the Street Profits. I'm actually kind of surprised they aren't having Zelina and Bianca fight at this pay-per-view, but they're probably going for it on Payback. So they'll continue to set that up here. I mean, as much as, and here's the thing, like, I go back and forth on it, because it's like, as much as I love the Street Profits and I want to see them keep the titles, I kind of want to see Andrade and Angel get them.
Since we're on Torn 1, I have the Profits, I went, hey, that's points. But at the same point, if Andrade and Angel lose, it kind of sets their team back, which caused more dissension, which could lead to a breakup, which then, if they're not going in direction, that means they need to win the belt, and you have the Profits chase for the belts, because there's really not that many traditional tag teams left on Raw right now. You got the Raiders, Profits, Angel, and Andrade. I'm trying to think of any other team.
It's kind of it.
I mean, Rollins and Murphy are a team. It was Murphy in Theory, but Theory is wherever he is right now.
Angel Austin Theory has vanished. We have no idea where he got to.
He's disappeared. I mean, someone find him. He's with Bo. Who knows how long AOP are out for? Because one is always healthy, and the other is out with an injury. It just flip flops. I think he's out for a few more months, maybe.
Yeah, because he had a pretty severe injury, which I hate that for AOP. I really do. They're another one of those that are kind of jinxed ever since they came up to Raw and SmackDown. Is they have not had good luck. So which sucks because I really wanted to see them do something with them because they could absolutely be that monster tag team that WWE needs in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And they just don't have them right now. And part of that is because they just have not necessarily focused as much on tag team wrestling, especially since the start of COVID. Because they haven't had everybody every week. So I think it's like whoever they have that week, whoever's willing to come to work that week, that's what they have. That's what they write into the show. So the tag team division has really been hurting as a whole because not everybody's there.
Then also the other one's the Hurt Business. That's the other teams now.
I wouldn't have them go for the titles yet.
I was just trying to think of another team.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not really in the division. But yeah, I mean, in terms of Andrade and Angel, they've been on a roll. The Profits have held the titles. I wouldn't mind seeing them lose them just long enough to chase them and get them back maybe at Payback. Like, it doesn't have to be a long run, but I feel like Zelina and her boys should have some success, even if they get away with it by the skin of their teeth and they get it by cheating or through Providence or whatever. You know, they don't get it clean. They don't win it clean. There's shenanigans that go on. Like, it could be that Bianca and Zelina get into it and the boys are trying to break it up and Andrade and Angel take advantage of that and they roll one of the Profits up, 1, 2, 3, and they're your new tag team champions. Like, it could be something as simple as that. But we'll have to see. But I'm going to kind of say I want Andrade and Angel to win. I hate to pick against the Profits, but I really kind of want the Hoes to win.
I think a breakup is coming, and I think the Profits retain.
So, I don't think a breakup's coming. Because they're not doing anything with Andrade right now. Like, Angel's kind of the breakout, and they're pushing Angel hard, but they're not doing anything to Andrade. So if they break him up, that's kind of death to Andrade. Unless Zelina stays with him. And then what do you do with him?
I don't know. I don't have the answers.
You're supposed to have the answers, Rock. All the answers.
Okay, fine. You put Andrade going after the U.S. title. There. Boom. Settled. Back to what he was doing. So I'm going Profits. You're going Andrade and Garza. 8-Ball, will the Street Profits retain on Sunday?
Stop making Jobber eat jelly beans.
All signs point to yes for the Street Profits to retain on Sunday. Magical 8-Ball of Fun, what do you say? Or Magical Wheel of Fun, what do you say?
Wrestler 2.
So that would be the challengers, Garza and Andrade. So next.
Wheel of Fun likes me.
Hey, Wheel of Fun likes me.
Hashtag favorite. And what is the longest built feud or one of the longest built feuds on this card? Kind of coming to its culmination, we have Mandy Rose taking on Sonya Deville in a hair versus hair match. And this has been building
since before WrestleMania.
Since before WrestleMania, really since about the time that they kind of came up, where they were together as a tag team, they teased a lesbian angle, and then they didn't do it, and they gave it to somebody else.
And then they dropped it in a week.
They dropped it in a week, because everybody was like, what the hell?
Oh, before we get into this match, really quick. Thank God the police got there for Sonya and Mandy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Apparently some psychopath broke into Sonya Deville's house in an attempt to kidnap her.
Both. Both of them.
Oh, he was going for both of them?
He didn't know Mandy was there, too. That came out.
Yeah, but he was there for Sonya.
Yeah.
And Sonya and Mandy were staying together, and they were able to get out of the house and call the police. But what the hell? Like, the dude broke into her house, cut his way through her screen door, and broke in at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And thank God they heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he showed up with a plastic knife and, I think, paracord.
His goal was to stop her from appearing at SummerSlam. That was his goal.
I mean, what the hell? 2020. What the hell? That is just officially the motto. If it's insane, it happened in 2020. That's just it. People right. have yeah. lost their damn minds. Sir, if you were within the sound of my voice, I hope you regret what you've done.
Enjoy.
Because it wasn't worth it.
Enjoy prison.
Enjoy prison.
Anyway, back to this. So this has been building for a while. Everything sort of got into play when it came to Otis.
Mm-hmm.
And Otis sort of, in a way,
stole
Mandy from Sonya, and she's now the crazy ex who wants to make sure the golden goddess no longer is so golden, as we saw her cut her hair, he says in quotations, a few weeks ago on SmackDown.
I mean, it was attached to her head. Technically, it was hair. I mean, it wasn't naturally hers, but at some point it was somebody's hair.
It was someone's hair. And, I mean, she's pulled off the shorter hair look, too, so she's back to more her natural hair. Anyhow, I digress. So, it's like, Sonya wants to be the star, and Mandy's been the chosen one since she got up to the main roster, as we've all known. They've built this very well. And the fact that we're going to hair versus hair, I'm okay with this. Because we know who's losing.
It's gonna be Sonya.
Yeah, it's. I don't think Mandy's going to have the buzz cut.
I mean, honestly, between the two of them, Sonya could pull it off. I'm not saying Mandy couldn't, but Sonya could pull that off. She's got the look, and she's got the sheer ballsiness to do that.
And she'll look very badass rocking the...
Yeah.
Like, the last major female one they did was, what, Molly Holly and Victoria?
The last hair versus hair was Molly Holly and Victoria for the women. But they shaved Serena Deeb's head live on television.
Yeah, for the Punk angle.
So they did do that. But yeah, I'm here for this. I'm here to see how this goes. Because this has been a well-built feud. It's been a very slow burn. I'm curious to see how they do this. And yeah, I'm just interested in it. It's an interesting feud, right? Because both of these women have had such wonderful growth since WrestleMania in terms of their characters and really growth overall since they came up to the main roster. But
for the last 6 months, Sonya Deville has been seemed very confident.
She's kind of broken out a little bit.
Yeah, she's very confident in her promos. She believes in the stuff she's doing, and she spoke about the freedom she's been getting in working with the writers and having contributing and you know, knowing what to say and being feeling it, as it were. She's feeling what she's doing, and you can tell by what's coming across. It feels very natural to her. And
yeah, she's found herself.
It's working. And I hope coming out of this feud with Mandy, we see her be put in a spot where she can now become a contender for a championship, get in the mix. Doesn't say she has to win the title, just get her in the mix, get her in some matches where she can prove herself in the ring and go from there. Same with Mandy. Both of them should get... Once we get away from the Bayley-Sasha story, I want to see Mandy and Sonya get into the title picture and sort of break out of the pack a little and move up the ranks. Doesn't have to be in a month from now. Doesn't mean it's 3 months from now. But in the next 6 months, I would like to see them go in that direction with them, sort of move them up the card a little bit. And hopefully they will, now that we have crowds again and we're going to be able to get out of the holding pattern we've been in for a while. I hope they take the next step up. Because both girls have worked hard to do it.
Agreed. Yeah, and Mandy's found herself as well. Like, she was kind of doing... Mandy was kind of, sort of, and I don't mean any offense by this when I say this, but she was sort of the replacement Eva Marie.
Without question.
Eva left, and they needed somebody to take that spot, and so Mandy filled it, and she filled it very well. And that's kind of all she was she was just that. And she's done a lot to improve herself, both in the ring and in her promos and in her character. And what's really helped her is being with Otis and that entire love angle storyline that they did with her and him. And then just her being with Otis and Tucker, who they actually found and put them back together, which I was so happy about. That trio is a really interesting trio to me. I really like it. She brings something to them, and they bring a dimension and a depth to her that I feel like she previously didn't have. Like, they don't define her by any means, but they just make her something more than what she was. They add another layer to her, and I really enjoy that. And it's like Sonya has found herself. She's kind of like embraced this Daddy Deville thing that she's got going on, and she's just running with it. And they're letting her run with it. And it's defining who she is right now. It's defining the character as a whole. And it's taking her to another level and another dimension. And I really like it. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. Like, what's great about her is they're not necessarily making her fit into this female mold, even though the mold has been vastly expanded in the last few years, thanks to the women's revolution. There's still certain boundaries that the women stay in. Sonya's walking out there doing promos in full-blown suits, like men's suits, but cut for women, obviously. You know, she's not in a dress, she's not in jeans and a t-shirt, she's in a full-blown suit and tie. So she's doing stuff like that, which a lot of people are like, well, that's not very groundbreaking, but for a chick it is. It's pretty big. So the fact that they're letting her do things like that, they're letting her do the character like she is, that's awesome. And I hope they let her continue it. And I think she's going to look really badass with a buzz cut. Unless they do like the Rhea Ripley with her, which they could.
They could.
I hope they don't, just because Rhea's rocking that, but Sonya will look badass with a buzz cut.
So, who you got?
Sonya.
Sonya?
Or I'm sorry, Mandy's winning, Sonya's losing her hair. I thought you meant who's losing. It's like...
Who's losing? Yes, we always go with who's losing.
Who's losing?
I'm going with Mandy. 8-Ball, will Sonya Deville lose her hair on Sunday? No.
No.
8-Ball thinks Mandy's going to lose her hair. Magical Wheel of Fun. Who's winning?
Wrestler 1.
And then on our sheet, that is Mandy Rose.
All right. They're divided.
What's next?
Up next, the street fight in another long-standing, well-built, please God let it end after this show kind of thing.
But it won't.
You have Dominic Mysterio in his debut match taking on Seth Rollins, where Dominic is defending the family honor after Seth took out his father's eye at the last pay-per-view.
At the horror show that was Extreme Rules.
It was a horror show, right? But not in the way they wanted. Anyway, and after Seth and Murphy beat the high holy crap out of Dominic with kendo sticks 2 weeks ago on Raw, like that poor child, like, good God, he's probably still bruised and beat up from when they did it to him. Like, damn, just like, damn. That was some shit.
Yeah. 15 years ago, Dominic, the child, was a prize at SummerSlam. Now he's in the ring fighting Seth Rollins. Dominic, in the street fight, which has no disqualification, no count out, will have his father at ringside, while Seth will have Murphy. Makes it weird that they have managers at ringside in a street fight. I mean, the managers should just then be able to get involved, which...
Basically, Dominic needs help. Like, Dominic needs his dad.
And if they just stand there, it's weird. Like, that's the weird thing about WWE, where they do some things with street fights. It's like the managers just stand there and watch until the time is necessary, but they could always get involved because it's a street fight. There is no rules. You can use any weapon you want. Dominic has been training. He's been training for a while. Rey Mysterio is re-signing with WWE because his son wants to be a pro wrestler. He wants to step into the footsteps that his father had. The man known as Bray Wyatt is looking forward to this matchup, which is a very interesting little interview he did earlier today. He's looking to see, he mentioned how good Dominic can be if he's 6'4" and Rey's 5'4". Imagine the Rey Mysterio skills in a guy 6'4". You got the best pro wrestler in the world. Let's think about that.
I mean, it's not a lie.
Because Rey is, like, fantastic, especially in his prime. Dominic could be that way. He's been training for a while. He's been getting in the ring. I have a feeling we're going to be very surprised at how this match comes across. I think Seth Rollins is going to do his best to make sure Dominic looks really good. I think Murphy's going to be there to run some interference. I think Rey's going to be there for emotional support and hold on to his eye so it doesn't fall out of the socket. my feeling is this ends with a tag match the following week as the Mysterios take on Rollins and Murphy. That should be the way it culminates, unless you're going back to Seth versus Rey one more time at Hell in a Cell or whatever the October pay-per-view is. They've done a good job. Has this feud been great the entire time? No. Have there been weird things?
Yes.
Like the eye for the eye match.
Has there been things where the writers just got completely drunk or stoned or both and they just threw it on TV anyway? Yes.
Have we seen all the combinations of the Mysterios versus Rollins after Sunday? Probably.
I mean, for me, there is another option that I doubt will happen, but there is another option. And that is that Dominic turns on Rey and joins Seth. And they have Dominic with Seth for a while. And then Rey has to fight to save his son. Like, there could be that.
Oh, no, don't let, no, no, let's not put Dominic back on a pole. We've been there.
Well, I mean, he technically wouldn't fit on the pole. He's so tall, he probably is the pole. But anyway, but yeah, getting back to the Bray Wyatt point for a second, because I will always talk about my slut, and I'm not going to get to talk about him enough here.
I mean, he's next on our sheet.
Yeah, I know, but I could do the whole 2 hours on him, you know that. Anyway, if Dominic has even a third of his father's athleticism, he's fine. He's legit fine, but if he is every bit as athletic and talented as his father was in his prime, and his young, early on in his career.
When Rey Mysterio had knees.
When Rey Mysterio had knees and hips, yes. If Dominic has that same athletic ability, which he very well could, he has shown he can do certain things. It's not the prettiest thing I've ever seen, but the boy can do it. And with practice, he'll get better. He's going to be fine. And he's going to be an asset for that company.
I mean, he's going to be the combination of both his fathers, Eddie and Rey.
He's going to channel his dual fathership.
He's going to bring that Latino heat.
His paternity. He's going to challenge. He's going to channel that all in, and he's going to put it forth in the world. So I'm curious to see how this goes. I don't know who to pick because this is very, very tricky. Because if Seth wins, Dominic fails, and where do you go with Dominic from here? Beyond Dominic goes off TV and he goes down to the Performance Center to train, which I think is the intent. Is he supposed to at some point come off TV and go down to the Performance Center, which is like down the road?
It's right down the road.
But if Rey and Dominic win, then does Seth come back for revenge? Like, I just don't know how to pick this, where to go with this, because it's such a weird thing because it's Dominic, right? Like, it's his debut match in WWE. Very first time we're ever going to see him fully wrestle. There's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors because you have Rey, you have Seth, you have Murphy, all at ringside. There's the other outside factor, which is Samoa Joe.
Or even Aleister Black.
Or even Aleister Black. They could break out. Joe could break out his big stick. Aleister could come back with an eye patch. They could just ruin Seth's life. That could happen. Another possibility is retribution. Because there's no rhyme or reason to them whatsoever. They could come out and they could mess this match up and they could botch the finish on this and this could just go to a no finish.
It could. I doubt it. I think retribution is going to play a factor in another match, which we'll talk about in a little bit. In terms of a winner, money should be on Dominic to get the big win. So that would piss Seth Rollins off that he lost to Dominic Mysterio. I expect Seth Rollins, you know, the beating that Dominic took. I think Seth Rollins is going to take the same type of beating. I think he's going to get lashed with some canes at some point in this matchup as retaliation.
Yeah, Seth Rollins needs to get the whooping back that he gave Dominic. I'm sorry. He just needs to get that favor returned to him because, ow.
I'm going Dominic over Rollins.
I think I have to go that way too, just because it doesn't make sense to me that Seth wins unless Dominic turns. And I don't think Dominic's going to
If Dominic would turn, it would be in a tag match. It wouldn't be in the match. I think if Dominic was going to turn, I think it would have happened already.
You know, there's a lot of things that we thought would have happened already that haven't.
Yeah. I know.
And here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing about this show. This is the magical, they're back in front of a crowd show. It's not a live, in-person audience, but they are going to have 1,000 fans in the building, technically. So all the shit that they've been holding, which, good lord, they have to be backed up by now. But everything they've been holding.
They make a pill for that.
Well, it's called SummerSlam. You never see it coming.
I mean, it's a tagline for a reason.
They could do it here. They could do it on this show. At least some of it. Not all of it, because they're backed up 5 months worth. That cork's going to come out, and then they're never going to be able to get it back in once they unleash it. But they could do some of that here on this show, because it's not expected, because they're back in front of a live audience. They have that gauge again. Like, that's the thing that's going to make Raw and SmackDown and the pay-per-views better, is they have their gauge back. That's been the hardest adjustment for them, is that's how they tell what's working and what's not working. They don't have that right now. They haven't had that for 5 months. Now they do. Now they're going to be able to improve the product based on what they're hearing from the fans. Because all they have is social media, right? And we're all assholes on social. So they can't use that as any type of measuring stick. So you could have Dominic betray his father and he hands his father over to Seth. Or you could have Aleister Black and Samoa Joe make the save for Dominic after Ray gets taken out? Like, you just don't know. I'm going with the semi-safe bet, which is Dominic wins. But I would expect there is a lot, and I mean a lot, of shenanigans in this match. There have to be, just based on the circumstances alone.
You're going Dominic. I'm going Dominic. 8-Ball, will Dominic get his first win at SummerSlam? Yes, definitely.
Okay. That's definitive.
Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
And I think on our sheet, that's Dominic. By the way, if you're just tuning in, this is The Rack Live. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are previewing SummerSlam, which is taking place this Sunday on the WWE Network. Coming up in the back half of the show, we will be previewing NXT TakeOver 30, which happens to take place on Saturday night on the WWE Network. And we'll be live right after NXT TakeOver 30 on Saturday to review the entire thing. We will have the intern joining us in the back half of the show as well.
Side note, before we continue, since he did the reset, the State Farm commercials on my TV, I just have to say that she brings him a whole ass restaurant ranch.
Didn't you get
like a whole tub? I have to call that out every time because that is goddamn love.
I mean, didn't State Farm respond to you about that?
Yes, they did. But that is just like, that is just great, great marketing. Anyway, a whole ranch. Not a little cup, a whole goddamn jug of classic ranch. The good stuff. The good restaurant ranch. The nice thick, not the salad dressing, like the nice thick dipping sauce ranch that you have to fight the waitress for because they only give you like a little itty bitty cup and then they charge you for the rest.
By the way, since we're talking about things, make sure you go to our podcast for the Rack Extra Reviews, PGA Tour 2K21, now available, the review, the secret thing we were talking about for a while.
Secret
content has been released. Check it out. Download it. Listen to it tomorrow.
Ding.
All right, next match.
All right. Speaking of well-built, long-term bizarreness, up next we have the Universal Championship on the line as Braun Strowman is taking on the Fiend Bray Wyatt. That's right. We started out with regular Bray Wyatt. Then we went to the Swamp Slut. Now we're here finally with the Fiend. He has come back to us. He is here to murder Braun Strowman and take his title, except maybe not, because in one of the bizarrest turns I think I've ever seen in wrestling.
If it even is a turn.
It even is a turn, I'm not sure. I don't know. This is all based on what I watched last week, and I was terribly drunk when I watched it. I think they turned the Bray Wyatt face, y'all.
The Fiend face.
I think they turned the Fiend face. I'm not 100% sure. Basically, the way that this happened is the Swamp Slut, which if you've never listened to this show, that's what I call him. I call him a Swamp Slut and a hoe and everything else because Bray Wyatt is a hoe. Anyway,
He's not Angel Garza hoe. He's just a hoe.
Oh, no. I think he's Angel Garza level hoe. The man pins like a whore. The man just pins like he's just ready to go all the time. And I'm sure he probably is.
I mean, with the Amalek kit. Anyway, let's move on.
He's very potent. Anyway, so we had the Swamp match. Bray Wyatt, the Swamp version of Bray Wyatt. I think he won. I think he beat Braun Strowman. I'm not entirely sure. I believe Braun Strowman technically got drowned in the Swamp of Reincarnation.
Yeah.
And the Fiend appeared out of the swamp, ready to kill. But what was interesting in that match is Alexa Bliss played a part as a distraction to Braun Strowman, where she appeared to him as a vision calling him home. So Bray Wyatt, aka the Fiend, got tired of waiting for Braun Strowman to pick his ass up out of the swamp and come find him, so Bray Wyatt attacked and kidnapped Alexa Bliss and tried to use her as a way to draw Braun Strowman out, which he technically did because the second week that he had her, I guess, or summoned her or something, there's no fan fiction has not been written yet to cover this topic for the in-between, and WWE's not going to define what happened, so go figure. Anyway, I digress. I'm trying to get my train of thought back. Okay, so Bray Wyatt has Alexa Bliss in the ring, and we have this fantastic silent play happen in front of us where Bray is going to attack Alexa, and then she brushes his hand away and she kind of brushes his face, and he responds acting like he's been scalded. And she's just looking at him like she's intrigued by him. Basically, Alexa Bliss is in love with the Fiend. That's what that boils down to, because she gave an interview last week basically saying he's intriguing and he's engaging. And it's very Phantom, kind of, sort of, not really. But that's the closest kind of comparison I have, is sort of it's between Alexa and the Fiend is Phantom. And anyway, you had Braun show up on the video screen after the silent play saying he doesn't give a damn about Alexa Bliss, which was like, wait, what? And then Bray.
For a full breakdown, listen to our show last week.
Yeah, this is the highlights. This is the spark notes. And so basically Bray and Braun are going to fight. This past week, Braun comes out.
Bald head.
He has shaved his head, which is fine. It's a great look on him. And Alexa comes out and is mad at Braun because she's like, what the hell, dude? And she starts slapping him, and she starts slapping the shit out of him. And then Braun picks Alexa up and calls out the Fiend to try and lure the Fiend out with Alexa Bliss, and the Fiend responds.
He made the save a moment too late, as, according to Bray Wyatt in the interview today, she fell 43 feet.
Well, I mean, Braun is very tall.
Braun is very tall. She fell 43 feet to the ground, and then the Fiend made the save, which then led to everyone going, is he the good guy?
Yeah, it's like, how do you take the epitome of the monster under your bed that murders everybody he sees and make him a good guy? I guess it's you give him a love interest. I don't know. I am highly confused. This is another one that I'm not quite sure where to go with this match. This is a straight up non-cinematic match, which is the first time I think in...
This is the first time since February the Fiend will actually wrestle a match.
But this is the first time in 2-3 months that Bray Wyatt has not had a cinematic match.
Since he fought Braun Strowman at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. So how long has it been since Money in the Bank?
So that was the Bray Wyatt, the lover, not the fighter, had a match.
Funhouse Bray.
The Fiend had his last match, which...
Would you call it a match? I mean, it wouldn't really call it a match. That was more of an acid trip.
It was Goldberg's payday for the year. Part one of his payday for the year, because he was going to wrestle more. I don't understand why.
Before we go on with that, no. Goldberg does not need to come back and wrestle anymore. No. No offense, sir. You did your duty. Please stay away. Thank you. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
But the Fiend's last real match that had no red lighting was against Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble, and that was really, really good. We've had questions about the quality of the Bray Wyatt Braun Strowman matches, and which... The regular Bray Wyatt match was okay. It was solid. It wasn't the best thing in the world. But it was better than the reported house show matches that weren't really great. Now it's The Fiend. Now it's one-on-one. I wish it had a stip.
Yeah.
I wish it was no DQ. I wish it had the ability to put The Fiend in his best position to succeed, especially on this show. I think we're in a position where Bray, the Fiend, should get back his possession, because let's be real, Braun was only champion because Roman Reigns wasn't available. Who knows, even Roman Reigns could be coming back really soon. We don't know.
Or Roman Reigns may not be back for a while. Roman Reigns may not come back until
next year. We don't know.
Yeah, they could hold him off until Royal Rumble next year and bring him back. We don't know, because it's August right now.
Yeah. You can hold him off, and or you can bring him back. Depends how desperate they are and how he wants to get away from the kids.
I'm sure he wants to get away from the kids. I'm sure they're driving him nuts by now. But
I mean, anyway, that's
he's got like three or four now.
I think he just had twins.
No, he has the older daughter, so I think he has three.
But he's whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's putting like right. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The Fiend needs the title back more than Braun needs the belt. It'll be interesting to see if they... Okay, it's weird, because if Bray's the face and he defeats the monster and saves the girl, that would be... That's...
Yeah, this is weird. They've set this up really weird.
But then again, it could be Alexa playing Bray and helping the monster all along. Like, she could be into the monster, and the monster gets the girl in the end. She gets the beast. She's the beauty and the beast. It's weird. like, before they involved Alexa the way they had, it was a very telling, the story was very easy. Bray beat, the Fiend wins. The Fiend gets his title back, the Fiend moves back as the top talent on the brand, and then you find the next challenger for Bray. But with Alexa thrown in, there is things. There are other twists they can do. They have a pay-per-view called Payback. I don't think this is the match that gets thrown out to lead into it. I think this matchup has the decisive finish. I think the other title matches might be a little screwed in terms of directions, but we'll see. I don't know. It's a tough situation.
They've kind of written themselves into a corner a little bit with this. I really like the dynamic of The Fiend and Alexa Bliss, mainly because they're not together constantly, but when they're together, there is a lightning in a bottle quality to it where there's just magic that happens between the two of them, where it's this pairing that is completely improbable. It should not work by any stretch of the imagination, but it does because they're that good at being able to play act with what they're doing, and they can use body language and facial expressions and everything else to convey what they're trying to convey. Alexa is going to be a part of this. We all just need to accept that right now. Alexa's going to be involved. What her level involvement is and who she's with, we don't know. Braun could use Alexa to distract the Fiend. The Fiend could turn on Alexa because he realizes that she's making him weak. She's essentially, the story that they told is that the Fiend is weakened by love and kindness, I think, is the message that they tried to send with it. So because she's not afraid of him, that makes him weak. And instead she showed him love, which caused him to shrink back from her. So that is his weakness, is that. So Braun could use that to his advantage. What's just really weird is that they just turned the Fiend face, which I just don't understand. I just can't wrap my head around this shit. And granted, I don't have tomorrow's show. I don't know what's going to happen. They could have the Fiend murder Alexa tomorrow and that's the end of it, right? Or they could not. Braun, though, is definitely the bad guy. And they've made kind of Bray the underdog, which is just so weird. But I'm kind of with LeMans in the fact that the Fiend shouldn't lose. I'm not with it to the point that they should just get rid of the character, because that's like a cash cow for them and they're not going to do it. But the Fiend should not lose. Right? Like, you had regular Bray Wyatt, Funhouse Bray Wyatt lose. There was really no finish in the second match. I think technically Bray won, but there was no definitive win, right? Braun Strowman just disappears into the swamp water and the Fiend appears. A blood sacrifice occurred and that happened. And then now we're here. Maybe the reason why there is no stip is because somehow Bray Wyatt is going to lose, but it's by DQ. That's the only thing I can figure. Is that's how they take this to another match is...
I don't think you need to take it to another match, though.
I don't think you do either, but they've written themselves into a corner, and that's the only logical sense I can make as to why this doesn't have a stip on it, is because they need that disqualification for something. They need that in play, or they need a count out, or they need something to either not pass the title or pass the title on. And I think it's more they don't want to take the title off Braun yet and put it back on the Fiend. I don't think they're ready to do that. As much as I want to see the Fiend champion, as much as the Fiend really should be the champion, he never should have lost the goddamn belt in the first place, even though it's worked out for him. I don't think they're ready to put the title back on Bray. I just don't think they're ready to do that, because I don't think, based on certain circumstances right now, he's there enough to really make it worth their while, if that makes sense. Like, he's back now, and he's back more often, but he's not back full time. He's kind of there and then he's not there. And he's not been the focus of the shows. It's been Braun. Braun's been the focus, obviously, because he's the champion. I don't know if Bray is ready to be the focus again. Like, that's what's really hard about this, is it's like, it should be Bray. Everything points to Bray. He should get the title back. And the fact that I'm even arguing that Bray Wyatt should not be the champion hurts my goddamn soul. Because if I had my way, he would always be champion, right? But I feel like he's going to lose. I feel like something's going to happen and he's going to lose. That's what my gut is telling me. That's the way that they're setting this up.
Hold on. Roman Reigns is never going to AEW. Stop that talk. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, no. No, he's never going to AEW. He's sitting pretty in WWE.
Let's just drop that talk. That's the dumbest thing on the internet. Jericho, stop. Anyway.
So, I don't know who to pick. I almost need to see tomorrow to be able to make the pick. I need to see what happens, because right now, I can't do it based on what I have.
So, you're going to make a temporary pick, and you can change your pick coming out of this.
I'm going Bray right now. I have to pick Bray right now, because I legit don't have enough information to make it. I mean, seriously. Like, this back half of this feud has been so goddamn confusing that it's like, what are we doing with this? Where are we going?
And that's the interesting thing. It's, where are we going? And everything we've had up to this, the off and on, the will he be there, won't he be there, with both of them, has been, you know, because they've been taping weird days, weird schedules, etc., etc. And now we're back to WWE. We're the traveling circus without the traveling. They are now in a building. They are going to, whatever, if you have issues coming to work, you're probably not coming to work. If you don't have issues coming to work, you're going to be put on television, and they're going to build shows around people who they can count on for the long haul. There is no off and on. The only thing that will stop it is if you turn up positive. Going forward, you're probably going to be required to come to work. That's just the way it is. If you want to do this, they're going to bank on you, because while ratings haven't mattered and ratings still won't matter because of the conditions they're in, this step with the Thunderdome, this new venturing back into what WWE is supposed to be, the traveling circus without the travel, in front of the fans, virtual or live, whatever it is, we're getting back to what we WWE is, and everyone's probably going to be required to be on television every single week going forward. So your champion should be one of these two men. It should be Bray Wyatt. And the person, and I've said this on Twitter a few weeks ago, I know who the perfect person to beat The Fiend is, and that should be someone at WrestleMania. That should be Jeff Hardy at WrestleMania. I know Jeff Hardy at WrestleMania.
No!
Yeah. It makes sense.
I don't care if it makes sense. No.
For the Jeff Hardy redemption arc, him beating the man with the... being the Fiend would be the perfect redemption arc. It would.
No.
It would be.
Bray lost his soul to a Hardy. No.
That aside, it would be the redemption arc for Jeff Hardy. But I digress. Bray should win. I'm going with Bray Wyatt. Wins the title. Braun has had it. He was the perfect temporary champion. But it's now time to get back to work. And with the draft coming up in October, Braun will probably move shows. And you find new challengers for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, the thing to remember with this is that there has to be a definitive winner. There is going to be no carryover from this. I don't think they're going to carry this on a payback. I don't think they're going to carry this any further than what it is. It's kind of a three and out situation. I will say, because I didn't say it earlier, I did witness one of the Bray Braun matches live.
Mm-hmm.
And I will concur, it was not one of the best things I've ever seen, but I think that was partially because it was in a cage. I think if they can get out of the ring, they can move around, because a lot of the Fiend's offense is being able to use the ring as a weapon, essentially. And he just really wasn't able to do that in a cage. Like, it was okay, but it was very slow paced, and it ended very suddenly, and the Fiend just kind of left. So, it will be interesting to see how this goes moving forward, I guess. I don't know. I hope Bray is there more consistently. I think he will, because his significant other had another baby right after WrestleMania, so that's why he was off TV. So I think, and he stayed away from TV because he had a newborn, and it's just pandemic. So he's trying to make sure that, you know, the baby doesn't get it, nobody in his family gets it, because he has small kids. So.
And here's the thing, with them moving to the Amway Center, people can be spread out more.
Yeah, so I think...
So it would be safer for people, which is why I was sort of hinting at Roman. It would be safer for Roman to come to work.
I don't think he's coming back until everything is more or less back to normal. I'm just saying. I'm going to say that.
I know, I understand that. I'm just throwing it out there.
I know you are. I'm just saying, though. I think, and honestly, even if he does indicate he's ready to come back, I think they're going to hold him off for a major pay-per-view. But he could roll up Sunday, and we hear the da-dump, which honestly, if we see Roman come back, that would be a very welcome return, because the product needs him.
We're getting back to normal. You never know.
We need our Samoan Superman.
All right. I'm going Bray. You're going?
I'm going Bray, pending a change based on what I see tomorrow.
Magic 8-Ball, will Bray Wyatt win the title on Sunday? Very doubtful. Magical Wheel of Fun, who's winning?
Wrestler 2.
That would be Bray Wyatt. So, I suggest we combine the next two matches and talk about them.
Yeah, because it's essentially the same match, just with different opponents. So, the Raw and Women's SmackDown Championship are on the line, respectively, as Sasha Banks and Bayley are taking on Asuka. These are separate matches, or this is a three-way?
This is currently two separate matches. I think it should be a three-way, because having Asuka wrestle two high-quality matches against two of the best women in the world, two of the most entertaining characters on the planet right now, who have taken the Performance Center vibe and made it their own, is a lot to ask for. It would also add intrigue to the story if it were a triple threat match. Just because, you know.
You could have somebody be a three belt.
Mm-hmm.
Trace belt. Bailey Trace belts.
You could. Three belts, Banks. It could be back-to-back matches. Who knows? You never know until tomorrow, and they could make changes. Or it's back-to-back, or it's two matches in one night. Who the hell knows?
If they're smart, they don't do them back-to-back. They do one at the beginning and one in the middle or the end, just to spread it out a little bit, to give Asuka a little break, because otherwise it would have to be two very quick matches.
And that's what, you don't want that.
You don't want that. It's like, if you're going to go to the trouble to have Asuka fight both Sasha Banks and Bayley in the same night, give them equal time and let them all shine.
I mean, she's playing the Bret Hart role, who has, on multiple occasions, has wrestled multiple opponents in one night. The most famous is he fought his brother Owen at WrestleMania 10 at the beginning, and then closed out the main event against Yokozuna for the WWF Championship. He also did one where he fought Jerry Lawler and Hakushi on the same night at In Your House number 1 and King of the Ring matches, but that's King of the Ring, that's a different story. Those are always quick matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I dropped a Bret Hart reference on this show, by the way.
You'll have to pay him for that.
I know, it's a Sunday gimmick, it's not a Thursday gimmick, I know, I'm sorry. These two matches, if they're single matches, have potential to be show-stealing matches. Sasha Banks and Asuka have put on hell of a matches in the past. Bayley and Asuka have been put on top-tier quality matches in the past. It would be interesting to see which one they put on first. It's weird because I don't know which one you put on first between the two. I'm thinking you put on the, like, Asuka losing twice in one night is shouldn't be the thing, but it could be the thing, because each girl could play a factor in the other match to help their partner, because they're supposed to defend their titles at Payback. So there's that whole element. Could Asuka beat them both, too. You just don't know.
Something could come down tomorrow on SmackDown that Bayley and Asuka are banned from ringside.
Bayley and Sasha, you mean?
Or, I'm sorry, Bayley and Sasha are banned from, yeah, Asuka.
Yeah, let's ban Asuka, yeah.
Wait! Stop the presses!
Oh, no.
We have a Blame Lindsay!
Oh, no.
Clark Gregg and Jennifer Gregg, or Gray.
Good job.
So y'all thirsty hoes out there that want Agent Coulson, proceed.
# blame Lindsay.
I want a divorce.
I shouldn't celebrate that. It's a horrible thing. I'm terribly sorry they're breaking up, but I just saw it on Facebook. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
You were making the point. Anyway, it's, I don't know what you do here. Like, with Sonya, not Sonya, with Shayna Baszler winning on Monday. And making Bayley tap out. Made Bayley, like, she's losing her confidence a little bit. She's now lost to both Asuka and Shayna in back-to-back weeks. So it's like, do you have Bayley now lose? She's on a losing streak somewhat. Does, like, Or does she find a way to win and to keep her belt? But at the same time, Sasha just got hers, and they talked about it on Sunday. Sasha never retains her titles. She wins them, but never retains them.
I kind of feel like Bayley's going to keep hers, and something's going to happen where Sasha loses, because I feel like they're going to give that breakup angle between Bayley and Sasha a little push here, and it's not going to be the point that they break up, but it just adds kind of fuel to that fire a little bit, where Bayley either fails to help Sasha in time, or costs Sasha, or something like that. Something happens where Bayley basically screws up, and Bayley's it, right? And costs Sasha the match. And so Asuka gets revenge, because technically Asuka should beat Sasha, because Sasha took Asuka's title. She beat up Kairi Sane and banished her from WWE. So technically Asuka should get the revenge. She should get the payback and get her title back.
She should get some retribution.
Yeah. She should get that. She should get all the buzzwords and get that back. That's how that story should go. What would be interesting is if you have Asuka take Bayley's title and you move her over to SmackDown, and you kind of get her away from Shayna Baszler to let Shayna Baszler do her thing, and you have Asuka and Bayley continue to feud on SmackDown. That would be very intriguing to me, because I don't think we've technically had Bayley and Asuka really feud. We've had Asuka and Sasha quite a bit, but in terms of Bayley and Asuka, I don't think we've had that a lot. And I would be interested in seeing Bayley go for Sasha. Shayna and Asuka is a money fund, but they've gone to it a couple times very recently, so I would keep Asuka and Shayna away from each other for right now. Let Shayna do her own thing, work her way up, and probably get either a shot at the title or get the title before you go back to that. Because they need to do a lot of rebuilding on Shayna Baszler right now, because they didn't do anything with her for a while. But anyway, I digress. I don't know. I kind of want to say Sasha retains and Bayley loses, because Bayley's been the longer champion. Bayley's been the champion since Mania?
Long before Mania. October, yeah. November.
Yeah, she's been champion a long time.
We're coming up on a year with her as champion.
No one needs to change brands with the draft upcoming, but here's the thing, is right now the brands are sort of blurred, because they're filming in the same building, well, everybody's there.
It's more been the women's have been blurred more than the men.
Yeah, but it's still the brands are blurred. So right now, Asuka temporarily going over to SmackDown with the title doesn't necessarily mean anything, because she could stay on SmackDown and they can easily draft her to SmackDown to keep her there, or she could go back to Raw.
I think Bayley retains just to get her back on the winning ways. She can sneak one out over Asuka. The Sasha Asuka story, I think Asuka gets the belt and keeps it on Raw. Sasha stays and you keep Sasha back on SmackDown. And Sasha can go, Bayley, where were you? Like, Bayley could have taken a beating and she's unable to help. So that takes her out of the equation, as it were. And Sasha's on her own. And Sasha comes up short, even though she's looking for help. Bayley isn't there, and that could lead to some disruption, as it were, going into the tag title match coming up at Payback, whoever they're fighting against, we don't know, because they haven't set it up, only announced that they're doing a title match. So I'm thinking Sasha loses, Bayley retains. I think that's how we go with it.
Quage, I don't think we're gonna do a Discord. We don't.
Yeah, I answered that in chat. I don't think anytime soon we're doing a Discord. I don't feel a need for one right now. Anyway, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Get a Twitter account. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet us thoughts and opinions. That's the best way to get a hold of us when we're not live. At Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Award. You can tweet us. Yeah, I'm going. I think my official picks are Sasha loses, Bayley retains. Yours are?
I'm saying Sasha wins, Bayley loses.
Okay, let's do this one by one. 8-ball, will Bayley retain on Sunday? Most likely. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins? Bayley or Asuka?
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2 would be Asuka in this equation. Magic 8-ball, will Sasha retain on Sunday? Yes. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins? Sasha or Asuka.
Wrestler 2.
They go with Asuka. So the Magical Wheel of Fun has Asuka winning both. There you go.
All right. And last but certainly not least, and I promise we are going to take a break after this because I know we've been at this a while. Thank you so much for sticking with us and hanging out.
We have NXT coming up next.
Yes, we have NXT coming up next. Just in case anybody's interested, there will probably be no Fortnite with Friends tonight just because we're going to go late with this.
Yeah.
So, and I have to work tomorrow. So, yeah. Just so we're all aware. Anyway, moving on. The WWE Championship is on the line as Drew McIntyre is taking on Randy Orton for the title in a very kind of weird build for this, where they really peaked this last week with Ric Flair, and then they added Shawn to the mix, but Shawn didn't quite get killed, yet his hairline did, and all of our childhoods died.
Oh, God, again. It hurts inside every time I see Shawn's hair.
It's so... I mean, I love Shawn. Don't get me wrong. I love Shawn. But yeah, that hat came off and it's like, oh!
Those shots from the back. It's just...
Put it back on! Put it back on! Put it back!
Okay. They've built this up well. They really have. Mm-hmm. It's been a quick build, but it's been a nice build. Coming into this, before we found out that we were going to the Thunderdome... It was easy to say, hey, Randy wins. Now that we're in the Thunderdome, my opinion's kind of changing. Because this is going to be Drew's moment. He can get the big ovation from the crowd for a championship victory. They've built this to the point where Drew McIntyre is out for revenge. He's going to stand up for the legend. He's going to stand up for Edge and Christian, The Big Show, Ric Flair, and now Shawn Michaels. But with all that said, the pressure is on Drew McIntyre to win. Drew McIntyre has to stand up for all the men I just mentioned. But will the pressure get to Drew McIntyre? And will he cross the line a little too much? And, well, cost himself in this one. Whether he loses the title or not, that's to be decided. What if he just goes a little too far on attacking Randy? And gets himself DQ'd, because that's a real possibility.
It is, yeah. There is no stip on this, by the way.
No. And that's where it goes, okay, we have a pay-per-view. Needs a main event next week. This is where you can do the quick turnaround, because this is the first match in probably this series of matches. So the quick turnaround giving this match number two, where you end this one in disqualification, and everyone... gets upset over it. I mean, the internet will be internet outrage. How dare you do a DQ on at SummerSlam? Well, look at the past. They're willing to do it any time they want, and it's happened before at SummerSlam. You could DQ this match and push it into a stipulation match at Payback, whether it's an Extreme Rules type match or steel cage or whatever you want, into a second match a week later, or you just do another straight up match, even though that. Makes no sense, but it's WWE. It could happen. So this is also the match where Retribution could get involved and cause some chaos, as it were.
Uh-huh.
You could have Retribution come in and screw up this title match if you wanted to. I don't know if they will, but you could, based on what they did on Monday, where Drew McIntyre was rallying the troops, Retribution could strike and cost Drew McIntyre the title, then you shift Drew McIntyre onto the feud with Retribution, you move Randy Orton to other challengers, and there's your separation. And then you can circle back to a Drew McIntyre title run later, heading into the Rumble or whatever. Because as good as Drew's been, and he's held up his end through this whole pandemic, there's something where you could put some of the blame of him being the star and not carrying the brand. You can shift some blame there, whether it's rightful or not, you can.
I don't think they've done Drew a lot of favors in writing him.
No, they haven't.
During this, because I think a lot of what they were relying on for Drew was crowd reaction.
He was supposed to be the big baby face.
He's supposed to be the big baby face, and when you just don't have those crowd reactions, it's not the same. And it doesn't come across the same And the thing is, and I said this very early on in this entire process, is that the people that are going to shine are the people that don't necessarily need to rely on the crowds to get by. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. What I mean is that their characters are strong enough, their voices are strong enough, that it translates across TV and solely TV. It's like you look at what Rollins is doing, for an example. Rollins has this really strong thing going on right now where he doesn't need to sit there and have the crowd carry it for him. He's carrying it on his own. Bray Wyatt is another one where the Fiend and the Funhouse version, and even the Swamp iteration that we got this go round, they can stand on their own. He doesn't need the crowd reaction to help carry that moment, to carry that character. The Fiend can stand on his own. Swamp Bray Wyatt can stand on his own. And Funhouse Bray can stand on his own. You looked at Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch could stand on her own. She had the crowds, but she didn't rest on the crowds. And I'm not saying that Drew is resting on the crowds. I'm saying the writers for Drew are resting on the crowds somewhat. They were counting on that big moment at WrestleMania of him winning that title, of 80,000 people screaming and chanting Drew's name and you deserve it and all this other things. And then it just didn't happen, right? Because pandemic.
Right. And we were building to that naturally with the Rumble and everything. Everyone was getting behind him organically.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
And everybody, I think, is still behind him. But the groundswell is less because the people are not there to build the groundswell. And as much as I love Drew, as good of a champion as I feel like he's been, as good as this feud has been, Orton, at least for me, makes sense right now. Randy Orton is a bigger star than Drew McIntyre. Randy can very easily be the top heel, the face of Raw. He's recognizable. We'll all watch him. And that's what the biggest thing is in terms of Raw, in terms of big names on that brand, Orton is kind of it.
Randy Orton has been doing his best work since Edge came back.
Yeah, agreed with that. He's reinvested himself back in the product. They've got him back to being heel Randy, and he's being smarmy heel Randy, that's what he's best at. And I've just been really enjoying what he's doing lately. So at least to me, you can always have Drew win the title again. I think Drew should win the title again when the fans come back. And yes, the fans are going to be in attendance on Sunday, and he could win on Sunday. And that's great if he does. Don't get me wrong. If Drew wins on Sunday, that's great. But I feel like at this point, I'm kind of with Rock's idea of you have Randy get the title, you move Randy on to other people, and then you have Drew get involved with Retribution and fight Retribution, right? And you have whoever the leader of Retribution turns out to be, go against Drew McIntyre. And you have that feud run for a while until you get to WrestleMania. Because, like, here's the thing. Right now, pretty much from post-SummerSlam on, we start to build that road to WrestleMania. We're starting to get on it. They start to set those big feuds up, get everything ready to go. They're planning it all out right now to where they're going to go next year and how they want that show to go. Like, they're looking at that right now. So this show is going to determine kind of how the rest of the year is going to go.
You know, the last few years of wrestling has sort of screwed up a championship picture to the point where everyone thinks a long title reign is what's needed. Well, let's go to the Attitude Era. I know. Should never bring up the Attitude Era. But the one thing that worked in the Attitude Era was change. Flip-flopping of the title. It made it seem like anything could happen in the title picture. The last few years, when it started with Punk, we're having the long title reign for 300 and whatever, 40-something days, or 430-something days, whatever it turned out to be. And then you put the belt on Brock, and he was never there, and his title reigns became long. Is everyone believe that a title reign needed to be 8, 10, 12 months to be successful? And it doesn't. If you look back, guys like The Rock and Steve Austin, Triple H, Kurt Angle, title runs were 2-3 months. They lose it for a month, get it back. And it made the title picture more of a big deal because the title would change hands constantly, but not constantly. It was always an option. We go back to the last couple months. Did anyone believe Drew McIntyre was going to lose the belt to Dolph Ziggler?
No. I mean, I'm sorry, but no.
No. Because everyone knew Drew was going to keep it because Drew's going to keep the belt for a while. And that's why in the last 6 months of Drew McIntyre's title defenses was we knew he wasn't losing. Because everyone believes you need to have a long title run. Drew's title run has been successful. He successfully defended the title against Big Show and then Dolph Ziggler and who have you. And now he's going up against Randy Orton, who's peaking right now. He's the hottest he's been. You're doing the whole legend killer gimmick with him. He's taking out people that he's been taking out and has to lead somewhere until finally he gets stopped by whoever it could be. Whether it's Edge returning, whether it's Drew in a couple months. It needs, at some point, Drew needs to drop the belt and chase because that's what babyfaces do. It helps them in the long run. It helps Steve Austin when he would get screwed by Mr. McMahon repeatedly. It helped The Rock when he would get screwed or he would lose the title to Triple H and then Triple H would win it back and you go back and forth, and it just works out. So everyone will, because I know the internet reaction would be, how dare they? I'm canceling the WWE Network because Drew McIntyre lost the title.
But that's the thing, will they?
But I'm just saying, that reaction doesn't need to happen if you're smart enough to know wrestling. Drew McIntyre's reign has been successful for him. He now can say he's a former WWE champion. Him losing to Randy Orton, who's peaking right now, is not going to be the worst thing. That's my point. The title reigns have become, 8-9 months, they come really, really boring. I mean, as great as Sasha, or as great as Bayley's been, there are times where you know she's not losing that title because of the opponent she's fighting. And that's some of the downfall. That's why there's actually legitimate doubt on Sunday because it's Asuka. She's a legitimate threat to her title. But no offense to Nikki Cross, she was not a legitimate threat to the title.
Mm-mm.
So, long story short, don't be upset if your favorite loses the belt on Sunday. It just could be a reason for the story that they're going to tell.
Also, I mean, hot... Go sorry.
On. No, continue.
Hot take, Randy could be the leader of Retribution, and that's how the feud continues.
Could be.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Because Randy also does his best work as the leader of a faction, so he could be leading Retribution. I doubt it, but he could be behind it, because he is just that methodical and that evil enough that he could be.
Yeah, heel champions always do make for better storytelling. Yes, they do. I said this the whole time during the whole authority era. Having the heel champion was better.
I mean, I would be okay with Randy winning. I don't have a problem with Randy winning. They've kept him off the title. I don't think he needs an 8-month title run, but I think if he had it for like 2-3 months, like Rock said, I think that would be fine.
If he loses at Survivor Series, that's fine. Like, come on.
Let Drew chase. Give Drew a little bit of a break. Because, yeah, I think part of it, too, is they go for the long title runs right now because of the inconsistencies. They're just like, they don't want to hotshot the title. But I think if you just have the titles move and shift, because that's the one thing that sucks about predicting pay-per-views, is you sit here and you look at the sheet and you look at the matches and you're like, that title's not going to move. That title's not going to move. That title's not going to move because of who they're fighting, right? Like, you just sit there and you automatically know that. So the fact that we've sat here tonight and we say, I don't know who the hell is going to win, is really great. That's awesome because that means that they're doing their jobs. That means that it's like there is legitimate doubt on if a title is going to change hands, on who's going to win and everything. With this, there's legitimate doubt. I don't know if Drew McIntyre is going to retain. I don't think it's going to be an automatic. I honestly think Randy Orton's going to take it off of him. And I think Randy's going to have help. It's either from Retribution. So it's not necessarily that clean, good win, which Randy shouldn't have anyway. It's Randy takes advantage, right? Because that's what Randy does. He's the ultimate opportunist.
Well, that's Edge.
Well, Randy's an ultimate opportunist. He's the ultimate survivor.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Same thing. Anyway. Same thing, but not same thing. Anyway. Point is Randy will take advantage of any situation and any windfall that he gets. It doesn't matter what it is. So if Retribution comes out and murders Drew McIntyre, you best believe if there's no DQ, Randy Orton's going to pin Drew McIntyre for the win. He'll take that all day long and twice on Sunday. Less work for him. And if he has to beat the crap out of Drew McIntyre to take his title, he'll do that too.
Anything's possible. And this match could be a 15-minute match that ends in Drew McIntyre hitting him with a steel chair because he's frustrated and we get to pay back. And there's your rematch. Who knows? I'm going Randy Orton wins the title on Sunday.
I'm going to say Orton wins. I love Drew, but you can always have Drew win the title again. That's the great thing about this. And you can always have Randy win the title, but it's like, I think right here, right now, with what's going on in the current climate, Randy needs to be your champion.
Start off fresh, new champion Monday night in the Thunderdome, Randy Orton. 8-Ball, does Drew McIntyre retain on Sunday? Yes. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins? Randy Orton? Drew McIntyre?
Wrestler 1.
Which would be Drew McIntyre because he's the champion. All right. I say that's our preview. Make sure you go to facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio.org. Starting tomorrow night after SmackDown when we should have the full card. Because there's probably going to be a pre-show match that they haven't told us about yet.
God, I hope not.
Because reasons. So let's take a break.
Yeah, so we are going to take our one and only break of the evening. We're going to go grab Brent, and then we're going to do NXT TakeOver. We're not done, y'all. We're just getting started. No, not really. TakeOver is shorter, so it shouldn't take us as long. So thank you so much for sticking with us. We're going to take a break, go grab a drink, go grab a snack, go get, you know, whatever you need to get. And you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/rackradioshow.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a ghost in Jarvis! It's Jason Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a gap. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down here to stop the Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate. A part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code? Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop. That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars.
Aubrey, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. But to reference over at MBG Films, check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub that's formerly Twitch Prime available to use, well, you are welcome to use it here. We would gladly appreciate it. But if you just want to follow the regular way, or you just, you know, want to subscribe the regular way, you can just click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can do that there. But if you just want to hang out, that's fine too. We are happy to have you. If you're just joining us, you just missed the marathon SummerSlam preview. You can go back and listen to that on the VOD after we're done. And normally this is where we would do Tweet of the Week, but we are not doing that this week in favor of doing the NXT TakeOver 30 review. That's right, triple X. It's going to be triple X rated, guys. And to help us get a little X rated, we've got an intern.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Critchens.
Can I just go to bed? It's late.
You're 2 hours behind us.
Technically three.
He says it's over. Well, Brent says we're going to bed.
WildTalkRadio.com.
All right, sweet. See y'all later.
Get back here. Both of you. Good Lord.
But Rock said we could go. He played the bumper.
No.
The bumper means the end of the show.
We're still live.
We're here. We're live. We're doing a thing. It's NXT TakeOver 30 this Saturday on the WWE Network starting at 7 p.m. Eastern with a pre-show probably starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. Because we have
Wait.
What?
3 p.m. and 4 p.m. West Coast time?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's a little early.
I'm going to need to see if I can leave something a little early.
Anyway.
I'm moving till 4.
Someone didn't plan things out accordingly. All right. So we have a TakeOver preview of 30 this Saturday. We'll have the review live following the show with me and Lindsay and not Brent because he's going to be still moving people into something. But we have a pre-show match that was announced last night on the show. Number one contenders, Breezango versus Lorcan and Birch versus
Legato.
Legato.
Legato
Del Fantasma. Had to move the thing out of the way. I couldn't.
Learn Spanish.
No. Winamp was covering the sheet. I had to move it a second.
Ash, no. There's no Fortnite with friends tonight because we're going ultra long.
I mean, it's midnight already. Let's be real.
Yeah.
We're going to be here an hour.
Midnight-ish.
Yeah. We're as close as they get Saturday night's midnight.
And we may or may not have it on Saturday. It kind of depends on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. So, y'all been warned. But hey, if you want video game content, check out the Rack Extra Reviews PJ Tour 2K21 now available. Go download it.
If you want, I could get drunk and I could watch SmackDown tomorrow. I just can't stream it on Twitch.
Also, the game drops tomorrow in 2 minutes probably at 2K.com. So anyway, let's get into this matchup. Number one contenders match for the tag titles. The current champions are what? Imperium?
Yes.
So when you look at the people involved, Brent, it's like, I don't think Morgan and Birch are your real true contenders in this one, but you never know with WWE.
See, the funny thing is I'm going the inverse of your thinking with that, because you have Breezango and Legado de Fantasma in a program with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, kidnapping ninja luchadors were trying to take Breezango, God knows what reason, and Breezango's fighting them back.
They're cute.
But remind me, right as COVID hit, was about the time that the tag team titles changed hands, right?
Yeah, the last the last real takeover, right?
Yeah.
I thought they won it on a NXT, like one of the early NXTs.
It may have been right. Whatever.
Like, right then.
Walter won the UK title off of Dunn.
Back last year.
And then Imperium kind of followed him up shortly after that, where they brought them back over, and because Walter was going to feud with Balor.
Right.
And Imperium won the tag titles right as Walter began his feud with Balor, and then COVID hit, and they couldn't get Imperium back over.
Yeah, it was the thing of, you know, the Golden Prophecy started to fall apart because Imperium beat, mm-hmm. you know.
Wait. Imperium won the belts. They beat the Broserweights. But it wasn't the Broserweights. It was Riddle and Thatcher.
It was Riddle and Thatcher.
It was Thatcher because Thatcher walked off.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's when it happened. So they've held the title since May.
Okay. But you had Imperium. Long way around. Imperium got the belt. The first team that was really kind of gunning for him that we never got was Lorcan and Birch.
Didn't they fight, though?
I don't think they ever did, because I think it was Lorcan and Birch wanted to. They tried to do that, and then it was Breezango came along and did the mock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Orkin and... Or Orkin.
Just call him Orkin.
Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch, I don't know if they ever really got a shot at the titles, because they had made the public claim for it. So when I saw the fact that they were put in the tag team title match, I was like, huh, this is how you can get to that point. Because I think the other two teams are going to cancel each other out. They're going to battle. I really don't think Phantasma needs a shot at the titles, because the two guys are essentially the henchmen for Santos Escobar.
Which, and it would be weird because they're the heels and Imperium are heels, so that dynamic really doesn't work.
Right. And I mean, you've got Breezango, who, for all intents and purposes, let's call them what they are. They're the comedy team. Now, are they good performers? Oh, yeah. But at the same time, you know, they talk about the Majestic Beaver, and, you know.
You know, two beavers are better than one.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. But it's the thing, like, Breezango, you can always put in there if you need the good hand team, you know, a good tag team to put up to make your champions look good.
And maybe that's what they need right now. They need a good match because...
But again, like I said, if you have Breezango win, it's the same, you know, they faced off before and they did the mock Imperium. It just feels like Lork and Birch can kind of give you a good hard-hitting but mat-based match if you wanted that. Moving forward between those teams.
I mean, it does. And that's a good point. Like, the other two should keep... They could cancel each other out. But to me, Lorcan and Birch going up against Imperium, as good as the match will be, it doesn't do much for me. And this is a... Like, this is matches on the pre-show, so you gotta, like, figure out how they're gonna do it in terms of, like, how they wanna get the tone started for the night. I don't know if only Lorcan and Danny Birch are the ones to... Do that? I'm not sure.
I feel like for that, as this is going to sound very, very, very wrong, if Birch and Oni win, you can kind of put them on the back burner, because I don't know if Imperium is here or not, and I don't know if they can get them over. Like, that's the hard part about this, because they were here, I think,
they were here in May. They were here like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
They just came back again.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're still here. Like, that's the thing is, because it's like, if they come over, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they can wrestle, but if they go back to the UK, like, getting them back and forth between the two countries is really hard because there's travel bans, right? So if they go back to the UK, then technically they have to quarantine again for 2 weeks before they can do anything.
But I think they're here.
Well, and that's the $64,000 question. Is Imperium here or not? Because if they're not here, then they're not. And when I mean here in the U.S., then whoever wins this match is going on the back burner for the time being until you can get them over here to win the titles.
I think Marcel and Fabian are here.
I would, yeah, maybe. I don't know. We haven't seen them, so it's hard to say. But I would say, ultimately, I don't know what I would say. I don't think it's going to be Breezango. As much as I love Breezango, it's not going to be them. I almost want to say it's going to be Legado, just because they're kind of the hottest group in NXT right now. They're consistently booked, and it would make sense to put the titles on them, because then they would have the Cruiserweight title and the tag titles, and you can continue that feud between Breezango and Legado for the tag titles at some point, if you're going to continue that feud. That's kind of how it works in my fogged up little brain right now, because it's late. So I'm going to say Legado, because it doesn't make sense to have them lose and somebody's in there to eat the pin. I'm just not sure who it is. I don't think it's them. It's a conundrum either way, because here's the thing, like, if you do it on Legado, they can continue their feud with Breezango until Imperium does show up at whatever date that is. They could be at the pay-per-view, or they could be here 2 weeks from now. We don't know. So you could just kind of have that, you know, tout that out there that, oh, hey, by the way, they're also the number one contenders to the tag titles whenever the tag champions show back up. Because I think they need to at least get the titles off Imperium, because they haven't been present and they need to be present.
The last time they were here was August 5th.
So, yeah.
So 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So they could have gone home and quarantined. They could still be here. We don't know. We do not know the status of Imperium. If anybody can find them, please let us know. Tweet at Wild Talk Radio. But I'm going to say Legado. I just don't see it being Oni and Oni. I just don't. I love them. I love them both. They're a great team. They're a really hard hitting team. But honestly, Larkin and Birch versus Imperium, it'd be hard hitting, but doesn't really do a lot for me. Same thing with Breezango versus them. That's an easy victory either way. Legado? God poses a threat. A real threat.
But heel,
and if they don't have Walter?
Yeah, but heel versus heel, I don't know. Brent, who are you going with?
I'm going Birch Larkin, because they had the story before. I know it might not be everyone's cup of tea, but dear God, when you had Oni Larkin and Timothy Thatcher go up against each other, Jesus.
Oh God, that was a murder.
Right, but it was a murder, but you couldn't look away. You were drawn to it. And even though, you know, the Imperium guys are very good mat tacticians, Burge and Larkin bring a little bit of that brawling style too, where they can mat wrestle you, but they'll also knock your head off. And I think in some respects, that's a fun kind of change of pace from some of like Johnny or some of the other acts that you have in NXT right now. And I think it could bring an interesting flavor to NXT to have a couple of matches with these guys.
All right, let's make this a full on the tiebreaker match. I'll go Breezango. Because I have a feeling we're all going to be on the same page for a lot of this stuff. So, I mean, let's make this a whole little tiebreaker match. I'll go Breezango. 8-Ball, does Oni Larkin, Danny Birch, do they become number one contenders on Saturday? Don't count on it. Does Breezango win on Saturday? Don't count on it. So the Phantasma win on Saturday? Does this one want to pick? Do Oni Larkin and Danny Birch win? Go, okay. Took some convincing, but the 8-Ball picked Larkin and Birch. Magical Wheel of Fun. Who wins? Wrestler 2.
Who is that?
Larkin and Birch.
God, both the inanimate objects went with me. What's wrong?
All right, what's next?
All right, up next. Speaking of Timothy Thatcher, we talked so much about him and what promises to be a hard-hitting match. You have Finn Balor taking on Timothy Thatcher.
This one,
you know who wins?
Who?
My ovaries.
This one came out of nowhere.
You know who wins this? Whoever has health insurance coverage for these guys, because someone is. We had Timothy Thatcher lose teeth with Matt Riddle. What's gonna happen when Finn gets a hold of him?
They interacted last night on NXT and this set up the match, so it's like, I'm looking forward to this one, even though it's really no build. It's Timothy Thatcher has been the hottest talent they have, and from a singles perspective, beyond Karrion Kross right now, who isn't a champion, so he could do some real damage in this one against Finn.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn's the veteran, or I mean, you know, the NXT veteran who's...
they're both kind of the veteran.
They're both kind of, they are, but in terms of being in NXT, it's Finn's playground. This one's tough because You don't want to see either guy lose.
I feel like though Finn doesn't have a direction, Finn's just there, right? Like, Finn is that little special something-something you pull out when you need to pull him out to have a really great match for the show. And that's what they've done here, and they've put him with Thatcher, and it's going to be really hard-hitting. They're going to just beat the crap out of each other. And I think they want to give Timothy a little bump. I think, as much as I hate to see Finn lose, they're purposefully keeping Finn cool, because I think they're going to heat him back up for WrestleMania and Rumble, and that's when they're going to really start to push on him hard. But right now, they're like, they're just kind of keeping him off to the side. They're letting him do his thing. He did the little thing with Cameron Grimes. Now he's going to do the thing, you know, gave Cameron Grimes a little bit of a bump. Now he's going to probably do the same thing for Thatcher. And they're just, I feel like, going to keep him going at that pace until they're really ready to do what they want to do with him.
Finn's came back to NXT with a, I'm here, but I don't really want to do a whole hell of a lot. I'm really enjoying life, but when I need a wrestle, I put on a great match. That's been his role.
Finn is there to provide a little bit of star power to NXT because they need it, right? Like, the one downfall to NXT, especially now that it's on TV every week and not network.
Battling for that demo.
It's battling for the demo is that...
I hate you, Rock.
It's a rotating roster. People move up and down depending on what the needs are at the time of the company. So you have your consistent stars in Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. They're seemingly not going to move, but you do see people get that call up and they go to the main roster and that's where they stay. And so you tend to lose, especially at draft time, a lot of top stars to the main roster in NXT. So they brought Finn back down because they weren't really doing anything with him on the main roster. I think he was happier in NXT. I think he's treated better in NXT. And he's just there. He's there to be that featured attraction when they need him. And right now they need him. So they're putting him with Timothy Thatcher. I think also the pandemic, which we've said a lot tonight, has played a factor in what they've done with him. Because I think he's wanted to stay away. Because he went off, he didn't get married, but Eli, I think he went to Ireland because his dad got really, really sick. His dad, I think, had a heart attack, and then he had to have a surgery, and then he got COVID. And so I think Finn went home for a while to help take care of his dad, and now he's back. Well, and he'll probably get better, LeMans. I'm sorry, continue.
I think one of the things with Finn, so they brought him down to NXT, like you said, to, you know, help provide some star power. But at the same time, I think it was... He wanted to go back because, there's no really good way to say this, he's a wrestler, as opposed to some other people on the main roster who are just characters. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he is quite the character himself, but it's also like, he wants to put on good matches. He wants to elevate the people around him, and I have a feeling on the main roster, it's more like, no, we're writing for a character and wanting to, like, keep that going, as opposed to, you can have the character, but by the way, you know, nailing that Tope Suicida is awesome. Whereas in NXT, he can put together a lot more matches with the guys that are able to kind of hang with him, and it elevates the entire brand and him and whoever he's in the ring with, which I think was one of the advantages that he saw, aside from, you know, not having to leave Florida. And getting to, you know, hang out with his wife.
Yeah.
Or his girlfriend or whoever he's with.
His fiance or whatever it is at this point. He got into a rut up on the main roster because he was wrestling a Raw and SmackDown style rather than his style. And NXT gets to more or less work his style at match, as you were mentioning. So it's like, this is his home. He has more freedom to be him down in NXT, and it's just... He's in a more comfortable position. Would he love to be the headliner, the main event of a Monday Night Raw? Yeah. But injuries slowed him down up there. And them relying on going to the Demon when it became a major pay-per-view kind of hurt whatever the specialty that the Demon was. And we haven't heard from the Demon in a year now?
Mm-hmm.
About a year now? Well, I mean,
longer than a year because Finn's last real main roster appearance was SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was SummerSlam, where he didn't pull out the Demon, where everyone thought he would pull out the Demon, even though they were all wrong on that one.
Because Bray Wyatt took the demon.
He did.
Finn pulls out a lot of things if you saw him.
So
from certain angles. But.
So when the demon comes out of Finn at some point, and it eventually will, he would become special again. And I think he wanted to feel special again. So he's back in NXT. He's able to do his own thing, work his own pace, work his own schedule. And as you mentioned, he's a special attraction now.
Well, and he has an edge to him now. Whereas on the main roster, he was Apollo Crews, essentially. You know, oh, he's the guy that's up there and smiles.
He was a white meat babyface, as the old term goes.
He was a goofy guy. Whereas he came to NXT, and the first time he came back, you know, when he comes out in the leather jacket, it's not just, you know, oh, cool, it's Finn in a jacket. It was like, no, this is a dude with some edge. And then when he took out Johnny, you were like, oh, shit. Like, he means business. Because that beatdown that he gave to Johnny back in the day, I think everyone looked at that and went, whoa.
Did you just drop a back in the day for a year ago?
Yes.
Okay. Just... I didn't know that was the term.
Rock, the pandemic has stopped the clock, okay? It feels like so much longer ago than a year.
Last October, back in the day. Back in our day. Back in our day when there were fans in the...
When we had to go uphill both ways in the snow to watch a takeover, damn it.
Barefoot.
Barefoot. But no, this is going to be one of those matches where Thatcher can, you know... stretch Johnny all he wants to.
Finn.
Finn. Sorry, Finn.
We've been the ones doing a show for 2 hours. You should get the names right.
I've been running around helping people move. Be quiet.
No.
But also, so Finn will get stretched, but then Finn can also pull out some of the high-flying arsenal, and I think Timothy can, you know, help sell that as well. It's going to be a hell of a match. And I just realized, these two were in a three-man together for trying to qualify for a match later on this card.
Mm-hmm.
They both lost that match, but still.
Wound up in together on this card.
Yeah.
And all coming full circle, who the hell's going to win? It's tough because you, as I said at the beginning of this preview, it's, you don't want to see either one lose, but one of them has to lose. But Finn's track record of TakeOver is really good, and this is Triple X, this is 30, this is you can play back through the history of Finn throughout TakeOvers and go, this is where he shines, this is where he dominates, this is where he should get his win. And I don't think Timothy losing to Finn hurts Timothy.
No, Timothy's going to get a bump from this either way, because they're just going to beat the shit out of each other. I'm going to say Finn, just because it has been a long time since he's been on pay-per-view, and we've really seen him be able to wrestle. He's kind of, like I said, he's been kind of off TV, so he needs that win to sort of reestablish himself. Not that he really needs reestablishing, but just to basically be like, hey, I'm here, kind of thing. So I'm going to say Finn gets the win here, and Timothy gets a nice little bump because of it.
Here's the thing, Chap, LeMans and Chad goes, they could do a no finish, but when does NXT ever do a no finish?
Yeah, if you're going to do a no finish, you don't do it on this. You do it for the title.
NXT's pretty good
You save it for another match we're going to talk about with two guys we don't know who's going to win.
NXT is pretty good on delivering the finish of matches, more or less. I'm going Finn. Lindsay's going Finn. Brent, you're going?
Part of me wants to say Timothy, just because I think he got the win over Riddle in the Lion's Den, or the Brawl for Cage, or whatever they want to call it.
the Fight Pit?
Fight Pit, yeah. Whatever, the underground cage that they could use for Raw Underground if they really wanted to. But I think things like the Triple Threat proved that Thatcher could lose that match, and it's not going to derail him. When Loomis knocked his ass out, I don't think we all went, oh, this is burying him. I think we kind of went either, you know, A, wow, good for Dexter, and B, you know, well, Timothy didn't tap, he passed out. And so I have a feeling like if Finn takes him to the limit and beats him, you're not going to go, oh, they jobbed him out. I think you're going to go, that was a hell of a match, and he's not going to lose anything in it. So I think Balor wins, because I think what will happen is Balor will be in that North American title picture, because he's already kind of said he wants that. He was going to aim for Keith holding that belt, but then Keith relinquished it. So I think Balor doesn't necessarily want the big title. I think he wants, you know, to put together a shit ton of good matches and, you know, take on that North American title because he hasn't held it yet. And that could give him, you know, the triple crown with Johnny.
And tough guys like Timothy Thatcher can always rebound because they're tough dudes who win, lose, or draw, keep on fighting the next time, and they don't look weak. So you're going we're all going Finn on this one?
Yep.
Yep.
Magic 8-Ball, will Timothy Thatcher beat Finn Balor on Saturday? Outlook not so good. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins between Finn Balor and Timothy Thatcher?
Wrestler 2.
That would be Thatcher.
Both inanimate objects went Thatcher. Jesus.
All right. I'm just going to let Brent talk for 30 years about this one. Io Shirai versus Dakota Kai for the NXT Women's Championship. Brent, you have the floor.
International goddesses are fighting each other, and it's going to be great. Dakota gets her shot at the title. Io gets to look amazingly hot in the ring. Is going, and they're just going to beat the ever-living piss out of each other.
So
I love this.
So we need to talk about how Io Shirai brought up the fact that no one knew who Dakota Kai was until she turned on her best friend Tegan Nox.
Back hypothetically.
At TakeOver, it's not hypothetical.
It's not hypothetical.
It is hypothetical.
It's not hypothetical.
Dude, shut up.
It happened. It happened.
I'm so terribly sorry.
The build for this match, it was one of those things like, Dakota's always been kind of sitting there. And when she did her heel turn, you were kind of waiting for her to take that next step. Her and Tegan had some great matches with each other. They tried to legitimately kill each other.
Multiple times.
Raquel appeared and tried to kill Tegan.
Almost did.
Almost. Yeah, she almost did. But it's like you were waiting for Dakota because you didn't want her just to be that mid-level heel with a henchman and not get anywhere. And so you had, you know, Io sitting there at the title picture, and Dakota was just kind of hanging out there, and it's, you know, you're just like, oh, please don't let it get to that point. Then Dakota came out after Io defended the belt and landed that kick that knocked Io's head into, you know, the third row if there had been seats.
After Io beat Tegan.
Yeah, after Io had beaten Tegan in that great match, and she's sitting there at the top of the ramp like, yay, I did this! Turn, whack! And it just made Dakota look like a boss in that situation. And the best part about this entire build was it has just been Dakota doing what she needed to do. There wasn't Raquel. There wasn't her muscle. And she had even said, you know, I don't need anything.
And until Wednesday.
Right. But then it was like Io's promos were poking at her. Mm-hmm. It was those little things like, you know, no one really knew who you were. You were just this, you know, kick girl until you had to turn on your best friend.
You were the scaredy cat of Shayna, who couldn't, scaredy cat when you were up against Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, and they pull out the clips again where you see her cowering in the corner with Shayna, like, right there. We won't go into what that means now.
I mean, that's, well.
Moving on,
just gonna leave it. It all makes sense, chat. It all makes sense.
There's a picture.
There's video of her.
Yeah. The thing with Io that I love about this has just been her build. And I know Lindsay has talked about this when you guys do the NXT recap, is it's not just a regular promo with Io. You're going into Io's world. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, when she did the one where she's peeking out over the water, not only does she look gorgeous, but it's just there's a different feel to Io Shirai than what than what we had seen from when she came up with the Mae Young Classic, you know, when she'd come out with the, you know, the tiger mask and just, you know, pull off the great moonsalts.
Traditional Japanese babyface,
right? You know, the Joshi style. You're like, oh, okay, this is cool. But then, you know, she kind of turned things, and, you know, when she took out Candace for trying to help her and kind of embraced her own dark side, it's really given her a new
edge.
Angle for her.
New edge.
A new edge, exactly. So it was just that kind of thing of Io's on another level. Putting the belt on her, you know, has been a great thing. I didn't think she would get it in that triple threat with Charlotte. But now that they pulled the trigger on you, you're just like, wow, that was a good move.
Makes more sense with what's going to happen with Charlotte if
Yeah, it does. But it's like this also kind of gives a new level to Dakota, where before you never really saw her as kind of that top level heel. You're kind of like, okay, again, she would be that mid-level person. She may get a title shot here and there, but do you really believe it? Leading up to this match now, you're kind of like, no, Dakota could have a chance. And now that Raquel's there, it's that kind of thing of, you know, Io doesn't have anyone with her. She's going to have to fight 2-on-1, essentially. And we saw Raquel can easily tip the scales in another direction.
She can. And you say Dakota's a top heel. She's not there yet. She needs a defining moment. The turn was the first defining moment. She needs a win. She needs a big stamp of approval. Like, she beat, you know, Tegan, but as much as we love Tegan, Tegan's not the big name to beat. Dakota needs a big monumental win. She got one over Rhea, but there was help involved in that one.
Right. And the thing with, even when she beat Tegan, it was never clean. It was always, you know, she had the help. She had Tegan pinned by the door, or Raquel threw her through a table. There wasn't ever that definitive win. And when they did the six person tag, I believe it was Dakota that took the pin in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, there needs to be a defining moment. Do I necessarily think this is going to be that defining moment? I don't really think so, just because Io is still, you know, taking a couple of steps with that belt. She hasn't fully hit the stride with it quite yet.
But when coming out of it, you have to look at who the challengers are, and there are really no challengers, because Tegan's going with Candace and trying to mend that friendship. Mercedes and Rhea are having a thing.
Shotzi is kind of involved with that.
It's weird, but this match on Saturday, storyline beyond, this is going to be a really good, Lindsay.
Oh yeah, this is going to be fantastic, and I think it kind of goes back to the conversation we were having before the break about long title reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Io's had the belt for a little bit now.
2 months?
And as you said,
I think 2 months now?
2 months. I think, as you said, Dakota needs that next step moment. She needs to move forward, because they've got her in a really strong position, but she's kind of in limbo. And she's been in limbo for a minute, because again, pandemic fucked everything up. And so I feel like if they gave her a big win over Io, if she took the title off of Io, that's the next step moment for her. I love Io. I want Io to win. Io has been doing her best work. She's found herself in this new gimmick. She's got it right where she wants it. They're doing a wonderful job with it. But I almost want to see Dakota, I don't want to say luck into it, because that's not the right term, but luck into it. Where through crazy random happenstance, she pins Io. She beats Io. She gets that crowning moment with the title. And then if you want to have Io get it back the next month, you can. Or you have Io try to fight off Raquel to get to Dakota. And you have Io, you have that threesome sort of go at each other for a while until you're ready to get the title back to Io, or you have somebody else take it off of Dakota. And then you have Io have to chase that person.
There's another takeover at the beginning of October, I believe, is the next one. Because they're trying to make up for the one they lost. So they're doing one in October. Dakota can win on Saturday, and it's like lucking into it. She needs to do all the heel things possible to get the win and get one over on Io, just to cement her place in the division, as it were, because her losing, then it's one and done, and she falls back down the line, and you bring the next person up. I think Dakota needs a win to help bring in the next generation of NXT women, in terms of who's in the title picture and who's not, because we're transitioning, like, you brought Charlotte in, but you had Rhea in the title picture for a while, so it's like, you gotta define everyone's role. Like, Candace, well, we love Candace, but she's the second tier in terms of a division. She's not a title contender.
At least at this moment.
At this moment. She's the second story. She's not the first story. Her and Tegan are going to have the second tier story, like Rhea and Mercedes are having the second tier story as the things that happen on the show. She's not in the title picture. As we saw, she was the first one out in the contenders match a few weeks ago. I mean, the only other, because if you put the belt on Dakota, the one name you could bring in back into the picture is Mia as a challenger, because there's history there as well after you get done the Dakota EO story. And if this is what they do a lot with the women, is it's one and done. And I don't want this to be one and done. I would want to see a rematch. So Dakota winning and then EO getting her rematch in October at the next takeover would allow them to finally have let the women have those breakout moments like they did with Bayley and Sasha in their feud. Like, give it some legitimacy, give it some length. And Dakota, who's been back, what, since last November?
Mm-hmm.
From injury?
Mm-hmm.
She's now finally, you can tell she's back into it. She's feeling, she's worked herself back into shape, worked herself back into ring shape, into finding her groove. So I think the long road payoff for her winning and beating Io here and becoming champion opens up avenues where you can build 4 or 5 months down the line where Dakota loses that belt to, I don't know, Tegan Nox.
Woo!
And Tegan finally getting the big singles win over Dakota and finally getting her payoff for the comeback story over her former best friend. There are steps there. So I'm going to go Dakota Kai wins the belt on Sunday or Saturday, right? it's hard.
You make good points with this. I think with Dakota right now, this doesn't have to be a one and done, because you do have Mercedes and Rhea kind of tied up with one another. Could they ultimately have a number one contenders match with those two, you know, getting to face off with whoever the champion is? Sure. But I still think there's more meat on the bone between Rhea and Mercedes having that one-on-one, especially with what happened this week with Rhea putting Mercedes into the ground behind the barricade. But everyone else is kind of tied up with stuff. Because like you said, Candace and Tegan are going to start something over a glass of wine. Because, you know, that's not going to end poorly. Mercedes and Rhea, you're going to have Mia and Scarlett kind of, I think, going back and forth with one another with what's going on in the title picture. You know, Casey and Caden are not ready to take that step up. I think Dakota can stretch this out a bit, but I just don't think it's quite the time to put the belt on her. I think she could put together a good match. Something could happen. EO wins this one. And then if you do have a takeover in October, that's when you can transition the belt, because Dakota can do, you know, whatever it takes to get that title. And then, as you said, that would be her defining moment. That would be her step up to be the woman at that time. And by then you'll have someone like a Mercedes Martinez or Rhea Ripley, or even a Candice LeRae or Candice Gargano, whatever, ready to take her on and have a couple of contenders lined up at that point. So for right now, I'm going to say EO retains this. It'll be a great match. And then in a few weeks or in a month and a half, that's when Dakota gets her one up.
Lindsay, who you got?
I love EO, but I'm going to say Dakota.
All right. Lone Wolf here. Awesome.
Magic 8-Ball. Does EO Shirai retain on Saturday? It is decidedly so. Magical Wheel of Fun. Who you got?
Wrestler 2.
Which would be the challenger, Dakota Kai.
I'm having a lot in common with the 8-Ball, and we know that's not a good thing.
No.
Well, the Wheel of Fortune likes me, so yay!
All right, you're listening to The Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch. No longer Twitch Prime, it's called Prime Gaming. Click that purple rectangular button below the screen. Subscribe for free, support the channel. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, PGA Tour 2K21, now available on Apple Podcasts and all other podcasting platforms. As we get into the next matchup on our NXT TakeOver 30 preview.
Okay, so this is technically for the NXT North American Championship, which was vacated by Keith Lee because he was not allowed to hold two titles. This is a ladder match, and in this match is Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes, Johnny Gargano, and Velveteen Dream all vying for the title. I'm going to be very mean and just say it. I don't think Reed and Grimes have a chance in this match, so I'm going to narrow this down to Priest versus Gargano versus Dream.
And with everything going on with the Velveteen Dream and then, you know, the fan outcry, as it were. I don't think Velveteen Dream is the right contender to win this title.
I don't think he's winning. I think he's going to be in the hunt for it in this match, but I don't think he's winning.
So, you eliminated Cameron Grimes right off the bat, right?
Rock, goddammit, you're going where I'm going.
I don't know about eliminating Cameron Grimes on this one. I think I'm eliminating, I would eliminate Johnny before Cameron right now, just because don't think Johnny needs the belt right now. That's just me. To me, it's Priest and Grimes who have the best shot at winning.
I selfishly want Priest and Grimes to win because either one of them to win because I both really, really like them both. But the thing is it's like, with Johnny in this match, I just don't know. Like, I think Johnny's there to be the name. And then if Dream was on better footing, I would strongly argue that this was going to be Dream's title. But given the circumstances surrounding Dream, even though it seems like he was cleared, he's cleared in a rather suspicious manner.
He's cleared, quote unquote, cleared.
But they didn't really do their due diligence on the clearing, supposedly. So I don't know if they're quite ready to put a title on him yet. I can honestly see them putting it on someone like Cameron Grimes because they're strapping the rocket to him, but they're doing a very slow burn, and he's had quite the rise since he's debuted.
It'd be the shock factor to put on Cameron Grimes.
And he can take it back home to the swamp, he can hang it on the wall.
They've done a decent job at building up Bronson Reed, the thick boy, as it were.
I think Bronson Reed is one of those, they're trying to show you that, like, we think he can be something good, but I think it's a red herring. I think, especially with the way that NXT ended, we all know whoever holds that belt when the show goes off isn't the one holding it at the pay-per-view.
And that's exactly what I told Lindsay on when we were watching last night. Like, I don't think Bronson Reed's going to win just for that reason.
Mm-hmm. I think it's too soon on him. He just really debuted. Even though it would be a huge shock factor if he won the title, I just think Priest or Grimes should really get it ahead of him. And really, if anybody out of those three should have it, it should be Damian Priest, just because he's been there the longest, but they just don't have anything cooking with him right now. I get they could start it with the title, but
there's something about Damian Priest that just goes...
I was gonna say,
He's the sexier version of Baron Corbin.
But that's not saying much.
Yeah, I think when I look at this match, I go back with what Keith Lee said when he relinquished the belt. He wanted to give someone else a chance, you know, to essentially grab that ring like he did, going for this belt. And when you look at all the names there, there's Gargano and Dream. It's weird to say established. But they're established people in this match. Let's say it for what it is. Dream is there to hit the Purple Rainmaker off of a ladder like he did in the first North American Championship match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Gargano is there to bump like no other.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to end up with one or two of those spots.
If.
Kind of like this past week where you see it and you go, oh, shit.
If he's cleared enough to wrestle. Let's preface that. He took a nasty bump a couple weeks ago when they taped the show that you saw last night on that Power Slam.
He's had 2 weeks to heal. He's fine. No, they had to stop that match. But Johnny, I think, knows. I think that moment was sped up, and I think it was the fact that, God, what the hell is his name?
Dexter?
Not Dexter, the UK dude.
Oh, whatever his name is, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, the NXT UK dude who dropped him on his head. I think it was his error, essentially, in not being able to turn him over enough for that power slam.
It was too quick, yeah.
Now Johnny apologized to everyone because it's fucking Johnny. And it's, I'm sorry I held everyone up.
Yeah.
But I think those two guys have very defined roles for this match. And especially with Dream kind of taking that heelish route now, that we've seen since he came back from Adam Cole and the parking lot beatdown.
And his time with the Dexter Lumis.
Yeah, and his Dexter Lumis run, even though he wants to only go solo. I think if Dream won the belt, then Dexter would be the first runner-up, the first one to challenge him, because you have that built-in story, and you essentially have Dexter not being able to compete for this, even though he legitimately earned his shot,
but then
someone like Dream came in and was able to steal it. That would be one way you could go with this, but honestly, the way I see this going is I see Cameron Grimes holding that belt only because the novelty of him coming out with that belt and running his damn mouth like we've seen is just, you want to see someone beat him for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it will, once you start to get the fans in eventually, or at least people watching it, you're going to want to see him, you know, get his ass beat. And someone like Damian Priest is someone who could legitimately do it. And that could be one of those things where they have that built-in story again with those two. And with Priest, this could be a way to turn him face if you want. Because you want to see him just beat the hell out of Grimes just to shut him up.
And he kind of has turned face when he went after Grimes for that one time. And you've sort of made it that direction. And with Cameron Grimes, we've seen him as the snarky champion in other promotions, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Because like I said, when we talked about heel champions, it's one of those things of the whole reason for them to hold a belt is so that you get that euphoric sense when they lose it. You get that kind of like, oh, finally, thank God kind of moment. And with Cameron Grimes, every time he puts a mic up to his mouth and he's holding that gold, you're just waiting for that moment to hit.
And going all the way back, Bronson Reed's in this match because looking at the card, he's legitimately the one true babyface.
I think what makes me really sad about this match is that if Dexter Lumis hadn't gotten hurt, this would be a no-brainer. It would be Dexter's title.
And he got hurt by doing a flip over the rope.
Yep.
Which, the funny thing is he landed it and you wouldn't have even noticed because he just stuck it. And you had Finn and Timothy look at him like, what the hell? And he didn't flinch.
But he got hurt.
Yeah, he screwed up his ankle. And he still fought on it.
Yeah.
Like a boss.
But it just shows that when he does come back, they were ready to strap that rocket to Dexter.
Oh, without question. This was his match to win.
And when he comes back, they'll strap it to him. But I think in the meantime, I'm going Cameron Grimes. Where are you guys going?
I'm going Cameron Grimes.
We talked you into Cameron Grimes.
I didn't want to pick him. Like, for whatever reason, he has this enigmatic draw that I'm like, okay, I kind of like him, but I don't know anything about him. And it's like, so I'm trying not to get like too into him because there's like no nothing there except a furry man in a top hat, which, okay.
Furry man in a hat, huh?
Yeah, I have a type, okay? Yeah. I have a type. Just leave me to my devices. Actually, technically, Kane is the only one that bucks that trend. Anyway, moving on. I was trying not to pick him, but I have to go with Cameron Grimes.
So we're all going Cameron Grimes?
Actually, technically, Kane has a mask. So does that really buck the trend? I don't know.
I don't know. Magic 8 Balls, Cameron Grimes winning on Saturday. It says yes.
God!
What have we done? Like, legitimately, what have we done? Have we, talked the world into Cameron Grimes?
I think we
just read the tea leaves, honestly. Because when he first debuted, we were all kind of like, oh, okay, it's Trevor Lee. Yay, it's this guy. And then the more he's come out, the more you're like, this son of a bitch.
I really hate that I like him. I don't think you guys understand how much I hate that I like him.
No, honestly, I think that's everyone's response. It's like, as much as you got like a Baron Corbin, where, honest to God, the heat that he gets is not the good kind of heat. The heat he gets is like the get the hell out of here. There's a hint of that with Cameron Grimes, but it's more like you have this oddity feel where you're like, I want to hate him, but why do I keep wanting to see this?
You want to see him get his ass kicked.
It's not even that. It's that he has that tangible quality that they talk about. He has the it factor. It's fucking annoying as hell that he has it.
He has charisma, and it works.
He has
and
charisma.
It so works.
And the funny thing is when you look at him, he's not like any kind of superstar that you would think like, oh yeah, like, you know, Cena has charisma and you're like, all right, yeah, I totally see why he would have confidence. Roman Reigns comes out. It's like, I can see why this man has confidence. You look at Cameron Grimes and you're like, what kind of Furby looking Chia Pet asshole is that? And why does he think he's hot shit?
Wyatt Reject. He's a Wyatt Reject.
He is! But he's the one, it's like, they couldn't break him because he was just so brash, and they're like, screw it, just let him run in the swamp, have fun.
Alright, so Magical Wheel of Fun. Who's winning?
Wrestler 2.
Damian Priest.
Okay.
Bucked all right. It bucked the trend.
Okay, so, up next, because it's late. In the match in which Adam's dad had to make for him, while his mother cuddled him to his breast, aka Hunter and Sean, Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee.
Okay. I know whatever. I know what. There's no step to it, straight up, but there'll probably be a step to it at some point. I know what everyone's thinking. Oh, God. Pat McAfee's going to wrestle. It's okay, guys. He'll do okay. He'll be fine.
He's actually trained.
He's actually been training for this.
He's been training for this. And by God, last night, he cut a promo like you've never seen before from a celebrity. He cut an old school wrestling promo on Adam Cole's ass. And by God, he was a heel through and through, and it worked.
I love that he keeps hitting on the size of Adam Cole. The fact that it's like, you know, he's not the right look. You know, he's that, you know, sub 6 foot, you know, 200 pounds soaking wet kind of guy. And the best line of his promo that he cut last night that you kind of went, oh, about, was when he said, you know, essentially, you've held that belt for, what, 400 days? And I walked into your house and in a minute and a half put you to sleep with one kick. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, shit.
I mean, not a lie.
No. And it's one of those kinds of things, like, Cole is just like, you son of a bitch.
Go ahead.
I'm actually looking forward to this match. I hate that I'm looking forward to it, but I'm looking forward to this.
They have drawn you in with the spectacle. No one thought you would, but guess what? They've done a good job. Yes, they had Hunter set up the match, but they've drawn you in. Pat McAfee's done his job. He's got piqued fans' interest in this matchup. Adam Cole's going to run the circles around Pat McAfee. Will Pat McAfee get his shining moments in on Adam Cole? Yeah. Is the punt kick legitimate? Yep, Pat McAfee's a punter, through and through. Will he have boys by his side, as we saw on last night? Yeah, he will. Will this be the five-star classic that Dave Meltzer's going to rave about? Hell no. But this will entertain the crowd, entertain the fans at home, the wrestlers in the crowd, and this is going to get you your press. NXT doesn't bring in celebrities. It doesn't. They don't do this celebrity angle thing, but they're doing it. And they're getting it to work. Him showing up doing commentary, like everyone thought, oh, is this real when he went on Pat McAfee's show? And the moment you all thought it was real, they got you. Got you all.
Like, there's this moment where you see that, right? And it's just Adam Cole and Pat McAfee slinging F-bombs at each other. That's the moment where we all bought into this, because they're just dropping F-bombs. As stupid as that sounds, but for a WWE talent, okay, to go on a podcast or a radio show or even a TV appearance and get pissed off enough to drop F-bombs and there's absolutely zero repercussions from that, that's that holy shit moment, because that never happened. You've ever listened to a professional interview with their talent? That does not happen. Ever. You never see their talent behave like that. Ever. They have handlers that ensure that does not happen. So it was legit a holy shit moment when that happened, and we all bought into it because it's like, wait, is that real? Did that really just happen? Did Adam Cole just really go on Pat McAfee's own show and cuss him out?
The amount of people that DM'd me or sent me a message going, is that real? It's like, yeah, it's work. But they got you.
Yo.
They got you.
It was a great cuss. Even yo. I was sitting here and I was like, did Adam Cole just lose his shit? Like, is he quitting and nobody realized it? Like, what did they just do?
I thought that was going to be one of those, like, this is his moment of going to the main roster, is like, he goes on a radio show, swears like that, and basically NXT is like, screw it, you're done. And he makes that transition. But instead, no, it turns into this angle. But the best part about this angle is, Pat, as we talked about with Cameron Grimes last match, Pat McAfee is the heel that you want to see get the shit kicked out of him.
And
because he just came in and ran his mouth on Cole. He's, you know, and he came into NXT and just had his run.
Adam Cole was a heel for has been a heel since he arrived, and now he's the babyface.
Yeah.
Like, what? Think about that.
He's got another 2 years out of Adam Cole, y'all.
He's the babyface now. Him and Undisputed Era, they're, I guess they're tweeners, but they're babyfaces in this match. Because Pat McAfee's the heel.
And he's playing it perfectly because, you know, everything from cutting that promo to the fact that you just want to see Pat McAfee get his ass kicked. You know, if you were paying for this paper, or, you know, you're $9.99 for the network, all you want to do is pay that money just to watch Adam Cole kick the ever-living hell out of him for about 15 to 20 minutes. Now, Rock says, is this going to be a five-star classic? No, Cole's going to carry this match. Now, Pat's going to get some good shots in, but yeah, it's going to be Adam, you know, running this around. There's going to be shenanigans from the crews. You know, does Pat win in a fluky manner? Sure. Adam could get distracted. He gets a kick either, you know, between the goalposts or upside the head and gets the victory that way. Or, you know, Cole rises up and is able to shut Pat up. Either way, I don't know if this is, you know, Pat's last foray with NXT.
It's not. Hunter said on this conference call, Pat may be doing more. Who knows? It's up to Pat.
Because now you've got that kind of thing like when Taz was the heel commentator. Or, you know, he could fill that role where if you need him to run his mouth and, be, you know, talk down some of the talent, they can bring him into the ring to be like, well, he's going to get his comeuppance.
Who's winning?
God.
I mean, I almost have to say Pat. I hate to say that. It kills my soul a little bit, but I almost have to say Pat, right? Like, you just have him get the one on... Like, okay, because think about this. This could be, as stupid as it sounds, this could be Adam Cole's Pete Rose, where they just dick with each other. Because if Pat McAfee's sticking around, you could just have them casually have this, like, beef with each other. They fight, and Pat McAfee holds a win over Adam Cole.
It's that carrot he hangs over Adam Cole forever.
It's like that one thing he has.
It's like, I beat you.
You're too small. I came into your house and I picked one up on you.
And then eventually you build that back up where they could go again and either Pat gets another win or Adam beats Pat and then Adam's like, yeah, go sit down now.
If Pat if Adam wins, it has to be with the last call to counter the punt. And just one of those things like he's beating Pat down and I just want to see him pick his head up before he goes off the rope and puts that knee into the back of his goddamn head.
All right, so you're going with who, Brent?
I want Cole to win. I really do. Because you just started to kind of turn Adam Cole. Pat McAfee's a douche. But a douche because he needs to be in this situation. But for that same reason, I think Pat needs the win here. Because like you said, just the fact of him lauding that over Cole, I think, draws this out so much more. It's, you know what this is? Oh my god. This is the NXT version of The Miz and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Except one of them is, you know, not just a wrestler who pretends he's an actor. He actually is an actor, but this is, you know, an athlete who's stepping into the ring. But it'll just turn into that antagonistic, long-standing feud. It could be of, you know, just poking the bear every time he gets. Or like, what if Pat essentially co-ops the last call? Is it the last call? The running knee?
Mm-hmm. I think it's the last call. I don't know. It's late. Just go with it.
But if he co-ops that almost into like a running punt in the head because he's stealing it from Adam. So I'm going to go with Pat in this instance. I don't want to. I feel really dirty, like grimy picking it, but I've got to do it in this case.
Lindsay, you're going?
I'm going Pat McAfee just because it's too good to not go with Pat McAfee. Like, just imagine him forever holding that over Adam Cole. And not only just Adam Cole, but Triple H and Shawn, too. Even though they're not really a part of this feud, it's that little extra, like, dig he can give every now and again where it's like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, I beat your golden child. because that's who Adam Cole is to NXT. He is the golden child. He held the title for 400 days. He beat everybody in NXT. And Pat McAfee comes in and beats him one shot. Yeah, that's just too good not to have.
Heel. I'm going Adam Cole. Bay.
There you go.
Hey, Bob, will Adam Cole bay beat Pat McAfee? Better. Tell me, will he win? Not so good.
So Pat.
Pat McAfee. Right. Magical Wheel of Fun goes.
Wrestler 1.
Bay.
Got it.
Main event time on NXT TakeOver 30 is for the NXT Championship. Keith Lee versus Karrion Kross. Miss Scarlett, I mean, say. Talk about momentum, Karrion Kross has momentum. Talk about momentum, Keith Lee has momentum. Two hot talents going face to face, nose to nose, man to man. It's gonna be a hell of a fight. And it's a damn shame they don't do screwy finishes with no winner, cause this is one of them.
Yeah, but there was ever a match that needed it.
It's this one. Cause you have two forces colliding and you don't want to see Karrion's momentum stop. You don't want Keith's momentum to stop because he just got the belt. But Karrion losing after throwing the fireball? I don't know.
Karrion can lose. I mean, they've set him up as such a dominant force in NXT. Like, he's just that freight train that's coming for everybody. And he wants that title. And they've set him up in the perfect position with the perfect opponent. But God, it's taken Keith Lee so long to get here to this title. He just got it.
Is it too soon for Cross? I know in terms of, like, when we say sometimes, oh, it's too soon, and it's like, well, Paige won the Divas Championship on her first night. But is this too early, almost like with The Fiend on the main roster, to put Cross in that main event picture?
No.
In the title picture.
Yes, it's too early.
No, I don't think it is.
It's too early because the character could have had more of a build to get to this point. There could have been more victims, but because of constraints and whatnot, this is the story you went to where Karrion's target right away became the title. Whether Keith had the belt or not, whether it was Adam Cole, he was going for the title. I'm going to put this in terms that Brent can understand. You're bringing in a hot, fresh talent and putting them in a championship picture, and when they lose, what happens to them, Brent?
They get relegated to a mid-card, or apparently, they just get lost in the shuffle.
As we've seen in other promotions.
I don't know what you're talking about. Lance Archer.
Brian Cage.
Brody Lee.
Y'all okay? I mean, God damn, you got caught.
My throat's a little dry for a second. Sorry.
Yeah, I've been dealing with a cough for lately. I mean, sorry. It's a thing. It's sorry. I've been coughing all night. Sorry.
The thing with this one is, with, like, Karrion Kross, is as much as you want to see him win the title, you almost want to see him have a setback.
Do you?
Well, I don't know. So, like, here's the thing, okay? So, Karrion Kross wins the title. Now what the fuck do you do with him? Where does he go? What does he do? I almost want to have Keith Lee where it's not a physical beating, it's a mental beating where Keith Lee, and I'm tired so I can't speak, I'm sorry, words are not coming right now, where Keith Lee outplays Karrion and Scarlett in a psychological game. And that's how Karrion loses, is he gets outplayed. He gets outsmarted, right? Because they're playing this game and they're trying to play a psychological game with Keith Lee right now. That's what they're trying to do. And Karrion's coming in like this freight train. He's murdering everybody in the back that he can find. And Keith is not going to fall for that. And that's how Keith Lee beats Karrion Kross.
Now, I'm going to ask a really weird question. Did either of you follow Killer Kross when he was in Impact?
No.
No.
Okay. When I watched when he was there, he had very much the same kind of thing where he was, like, nothing seemed to hurt him. He had a little bit of that Dexter Lumis vibe of, like, you'd hit him with something and it just wouldn't faze him. Kind of like early Kane as well. And it felt like when he was on Impact and they were doing that, it got old really quick, because then it just became, well, how do you beat him then? Because if he's just going to go in there and absorb the punishment and be like, you know, like sloughing it off, it's like, well, then what's the point in anyone facing him if that's how it's going to be? And kind of like what Lindsay just brought up, I wonder if he comes in and he, like, let's say if he even just dominates this match. Because we watched him annihilate Ciampa. Lay waste to.
And we haven't seen Ciampa since.
Yeah.
Except maybe under a ski mask.
We're not talking about that.
But it's one of those kinds of things, like, I wonder if something like that, because he's always had the one-up on everyone he's faced. And we talk about, with other people, what happens when they face adversity. I wonder if that'll be something that we see here, kind of like Lindsay brought up, of what if, let's say, Cross just dominates Keith, but Keith is able, out of nowhere, with the last little bit of strength he had, to hit a spirit bomb. He gets Cross's shoulders down for three, and Cross is just beside himself because he slipped up for that brief moment, and Lee was able to capitalize, and now it just becomes, I'm not going to let that happen again. And Keith is sitting there knowing, I escaped with the belt this time.
That is quite possibly the story they tell. But I also think Keith Lee is not destined to be here much longer. I think his time on the third brand is coming up.
His time is up. His time is now. Now
I think he will be moving elsewhere. I think he would be a great star for Monday Night Raw moving forward in this new direction. I think him in front of a live crowd, with especially how he was being portrayed at the end of last year and early into this year with the spot against Brock in the Rumble and his performance NXT Weekend, last Survivor Series, he's destined to move up. They see big things in him. And him being the transitional champion in NXT wouldn't be the worst idea, where he got the belt off of Adam Cole, got his big NXT moment, but now drops it to Karrion, and he moves and ascends to Monday Night Raw and changes the landscape over there, because they definitely need more players on that show.
Mm-hmm. Rock, are you saying you want to hear a couple thousand people chanting Bask in His Glory?
Yeah.
You really think people would do that?
They could. He's won me over. I wasn't a huge fan of his early on, because you didn't see much out of him, but he's what won me over, where it's like, okay, I can see why people get behind him. I can see why people think he is one of the top wrestlers in the world, and he's been able to deliver on the stages he's been given. He's been able to carry that swagger on the mic over the last few months, where you believe in him as a top guy. So him moving to Monday Night Raw would help that brand. I don't know.
Do you think Hunter's going to give him? You think Hunter's ready to give him up, though?
Vince wants him.
I know. You can tell, like, Hunter is just like, Vince, can I have Ricochet back, please?
You know,
I can use him.
If rumors are true, Brent, under new management, Keith Lee would thrive on Monday Night Raw.
I think if the person who could be managing that sees Keith Lee, he just looks at him and goes, oh yeah, I can do something with this.
Would you say when he sees Keith Lee, he says, here comes the money? Anyway, I'm going Karrion Kross wins this match.
Karrion Kross is going Kross. Okay, wait, now I'm going to pull out your strategy here. I'm going to go Keith just for this one, but I do think if they hold an October one, I could see Cross just laying waste to him. Because like I said, it might be that Keith escapes this time, but he wouldn't escape the next one.
Lindsay?
I think Keith gets away with it this time. It doesn't hurt Karrion that much to lose to Keith. It's going to be more of he suffers this setback, and it's how he recovers from the setback. Because the other wild card factor that we didn't mention at all is Mia Yim. She was involved backstage, so she could very easily get involved with Scarlett in some capacity that we don't know about yet, which could carry this feud forward. And that could be enough of a distraction for Karrion to allow Keith Lee to get away. I mean, at this point, I think it's a giant game of chess. Lemans, it doesn't, if he gets distracted and he slips up and he loses, it doesn't destroy his aura of being unstoppable because he didn't get his ass kicked. Like, it's one thing if Keith Lee goes in there, stomps a mud hole and Karrion Kross in 3 minutes and leaves. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is there's a distraction. There's a mental game being played between the two, but we don't know if he would. Like, right, LeMans said in chat, it doesn't seem like Kross is the person who would get distracted. Nobody's gone for Scarlett, so we don't know how distractible he actually is, because she's there at ringside and she's a prime fucking target. So you could have Mia Yim try to get revenge on Scarlett for the fireball. And that's how you set up Kross losing, is that all breaks down. And that's how Keith Lee gets away. Because then that could potentially set up between something between Karrion and Scarlett and Keith and Mia.
So you're going Keith Lee.
I'm going Keith Lee.
Brett, you're going
Keith Lee.
I'm going Karrion Kross. 8-ball. Will Keith Lee retain his title on Saturday night? No. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins?
Wrestler 2.
Karrion Kross. That's our 8-plus hour preview of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30.
Told you it was a dual pay-per-view delight. Ding! So, alright, Rock, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Check out the Rack Extra Reviews PGA Tour 2K21, now available for your listening pleasure at RackRadioShow.com. Saturday night, midnight edition, another edition of Sea Breeder, SeaWorldLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. So we will be live following NXT TakeOver 30 on Saturday night, most likely at 10 p.m. Eastern, to break down the entire show. So you got the Rack Extra on Saturday. You have Sea Breeder Radio on Saturday. Two back-to-back shows. Cool. And Sunday night, it's SummerSlam. Wrestle Talk Radio will be live following SummerSlam, whether that's 10 or 11. Who the hell knows at this stage? Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review SummerSlam. There will also probably be other special Rack Extras coming your way. You can go to youtube.com/RackRadioShow and probably know what the next review is going to be. Because there's more content from that coming up. Wink, wink. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow. Make sure you turn notifications on. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. All that fun stuff. Follow at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can just subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen and support the channel. You can also support it by using creator code RocketSock in the Epic Game Store or the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a Epic partner. And, you know, a new season of Fortnite is coming in a week. So buy your battle pass with code RocketSock. Just do it. Brent, internet, you're on them. Go.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to follow any kind of rambling I may have on the interwebs, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens.
Basically, also, if you want to see him arguing about AEW, at King Kittens.
Not just that. I make friends online. They just don't like me back.
Anyway, continue.
You can also find me playing Fortnite or perhaps a special stream of Fall Guys if we're trying to chase the crown here, as well as on CB Radio on Saturday nights.
What do you guys want to see me and Brent play Fall Guys?
Oh god.
Anyway, Lindsay.
All right, so everybody, thank you so much for tuning in and listening and bearing with us through this very long show. We greatly appreciate it. You have no idea. Please like, subscribe, follow the channel. Do what you want to do. Also, check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. If you would like to follow me on any of the social medias that I am on, which are Instagram and Twitter, you can follow me at Lins Ward, LANSWRD. Also, go check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. I do occasionally stream, not lately, but I do occasionally stream when the mood strikes me. So for Brent, so for Rock, this has been The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back Saturday night with our NXT TakeOver 30 review. You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.